Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 381 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl, what's going on?
Hey, we have classic radio all the way till 2 a.m. We're going to have Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, a good Western adventure from 1952. Then a comedy with Ann Southern as Maisie Revere in The Adventures of Maisie. And then Jeff Chandler stars in a great detective adventure of Michael Shane from 1948. We are also going to ask our listeners to help us solve a dispute. Right, Lisa?
Yes. Carl and I are having a dispute where we vehemently disagree.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to present the story with no bias. So you don't know who feels what, whether Carl feels one way or I feel another way. And we're going to ask you to text in until midnight tonight, at which point the text in line will close for that question. And we're going to count. We have an official tally counter here. We've got Curtis Koch in the studio.
What's up, Curtis?
Good. Good morning.
He's
good
going to tally all
can
the texts.
Can you count?
I can count.
Okay. He's an
he
excellent
count.
Counter.
Yes. All right.
And he's going to tally them up, and we will present the results and let you know. And the loser of this conversation is going to have to buy a large Lumalnati's pizza next weekend.
Right.
So
we need your help. We need you to text in. Now, the text in line is 312-981-7200. When we come back from this short break, we'll tell you a little bit about the dispute that we need your help with. We'll be right back.
All right. So we're going to call this, do you really know your hosts? Do you really know us? Because Carl feels one way, I feel another. We're going to present the story, and your job is to text in and tell us who is who, basically who feels what in this story. So here's what happened. Carl and I both have daughters. One of our daughters went out on a blind date, and the guy came and picked her up in a car that was covered with bird poop. I hope I can say that word on the air because I just did.
Well, you just did, yeah.
Okay. So the car is covered in bird poop. He came and picked her up, and they went on a date, and the date was fine. He was a fine guy. She was fine. They got along fine. No problem. She called her parent, whether that would be Carl or whether that would be me, and told him about the date. Do you have a problem?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Told him about the date and mentioned that the car was covered in bird poop and said, do you think I should go out with this guy again? And the parent discouraged her from doing that and said that they did not think that she should continue dating a guy that would show up with bird poop on the car. One of us feels that way, and the other one vehemently disagrees with that particular assessment, and we're wondering who you think feels which way. Would you like to add anything to the story, Carl?
No, they should just text in who you think this story was about, either Lisa or Carl.
So it was either Lisa that had that opinion, or it was Carl that had the opinion. We'd really like to know your thoughts.
Text us 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. It goes till midnight tonight. We're going to count your texts. Curtis will at least, right?
Yes, I'll be here monitoring the texts, counting them up.
Okay.
We'll give a tally right before midnight.
All right. Well, but first, we're going to tune into a terrific episode of Gunsmoke, September 20th, 1952. It's called Drop Dead. It stars William Conrad. Here's part one now of Gunsmoke.
West. There's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mr. Jackson, dry as a bone. Our last hope of water for the herd.
Not quite, Pecos. Cottonwood Pond is just over the rise ahead of us.
Well, it may be dry, too. Bet they haven't had a rain on the prairie for 6 months.
It won't be dry. I've been bringing cattle up here to Dodge City for 12 years. Drought or no drought, the pond's always had water.
It better have. We're losing 15 head an hour now. We can't push them much farther.
There'll be water. With luck, if the railroad's got the cars for us, we can start loading this afternoon. By this time...
Hey, sounds like the boys up ahead run into something.
Yeah, come on. There's a pond, Pecos. Plenty of water.
Yeah, I guess you were right.
Wonder why the herd's piling up. They ought to be stampeding for that pond. You think you have to... Hold up, Pecos.
A barbed wire fence. Somebody's fenced off the pond. Mr. Jackson, it looks like we've got a fight on our hands.
I don't like it, Doc. It's too quiet. When things get too quiet in Dodge, it always means a blow-up's coming.
Yeah, just sit down, Matt. You're just getting yourself a case of nerves.
Yeah.
You've been a law officer too long. Shot at too many times. You're getting so you just act like a spooky old horse. You're jumpy and you're gun-shy. Hand me those forceps.
Oh, yeah. You mean this?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, you take me, Matt. I don't rant and rail against fate. I just sit back and take what comes.
Yeah, sure, Doc.
Mm-hmm. If I get a patient, fine. I steal in blind. And if I don't, well, I keep my hand in setting a broken leg on a dog. Yeah, that splint ought to hold him. Matter of fact, I could use a fee or two. Not planning to shoot anybody, are you, Matt?
Yeah, if this drought doesn't break, I'm in the mood to shoot myself.
That's a bad one, all right. I don't think I've ever seen the prairie as dry as it is this year.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Dillon.
Well, come on in, Chester.
I've been looking all over for you. We've got trouble, Mr. Dillon.
Huh? Trouble?
Old man Howard just sent a rider in. A trail drive's pulled in from the Big Bend. They're threatening to cut his fences so they can water the cattle at Cottonwood Pond.
Well, here's your blow-up, Matt. A real head-on smash. A thirsty herd against that skin Flint Howard. Bet I could get myself a few fees out of this before it's over.
Good old Doc, always hoping for the best, huh? Come on, Chester, let's ride out to Cottonwood.
Mike Howard had no call to fence that pond, Mr. Dillon. There's enough water there for all the trail herds in the next 10 years.
That's on his ranch, Chester. He's got a right to fence his own range.
Got a right, maybe, but no decent rancher would take advantage of it. Howard's mean. Just downright mean.
Now, I think it's more than that, Chester. It's the old business of making $2 grow where $1 grew before. I think Howard figured on something like this when he strung that fence last month, but the trouble is...
Look yonder, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Must be 50 or 60 riders facing each other across that fence.
Yeah.
Looks like a couple of armies.
Well, that wouldn't be the first range war that started over water rights. Come on. All right, boys. All right.
Party's over.
Who says so, mister?
I do.
Who are you?
Dillon, U.S. Marshal out of Dodge.
Marshal, that man and his gang are threatening to break through my fences and trespass on my property. I demand the protection of the law.
You get it, Howard. You the owner of this herd?
That's right, Marshal. Jack Jackson from the Circle Z spread down in the Big Bend. Maybe you can make this fella see reason. I got a herd of cattle here that's dying like flies for lack of water. Over there, 100 yards, is plenty of water. Only a sneaking crook has fenced it in. How about it, Marshal?
Well, it's his land, Jackson. The law gives him the right to fence it.
Law? Right. Everything I got in the world's tied up in that herd. There's 25 trail riders there in the saddle I can't even pay wages to if I lose these cattle. Does the law uphold pushing a man against the wall and wiping him out?
It wasn't intended to. Howard, why don't you ride up here to the fence and talk, huh?
Sure, Marshal. No objections at all. It's my fence, ain't it?
Well, nobody's doubting it. Now, look, is there any reason why you can't get together with this man and let him take that herd in and water it?
I made him an offer. He turned
it down. An offer? $1 a head a day for water, or buy the herd himself for $3 a head?
Those are pretty stiff terms, Howard.
Better than losing everything like he's gonna do.
Why, you dirty...
All right, hold it, both of you! Now, look, if there's any gunslinging starts, I'm gonna be in on it, too, you understand? Howard, I just don't understand you. Most people out here on the frontier stick together when trouble starts. They don't kick a man when he's down. And they don't look on a drought or a blizzard as a chance to make a personal cleaning.
Just a minute, Dillon. You call yourself the law, Dodge. All right. Does the law say I can fence in my own land?
It does.
And never mind your opinions, Marshal. All I want out of you is enforcement of the law.
All right, Howard, you'll get it. And that's all you'll get. Jackson, you better have your boys start the herd circling.
This mean you're backing him up, Marshal?
I'm backing up the law, that's all, Jackson.
Then I don't think much of your laws up here.
I only enforce them, I don't make them. Now you better circle that herd.
I say you better. I'm ordering my boys to shoot the first man of steel that comes through that fence.
Chester, you cover Howard.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
And if he orders any of his men to fire a shot, kill him.
Be a pleasure, Mr. Dillon.
What's your idea, Marshal?
You wanted the law enforced. All right, you're getting it. But I'm going to do the enforcing, Howard, not you. So if you're smart, you won't give any orders about shooting.
All right, Mr. Dillon, you got a tough job. I guess you're trying to do it fair and square.
Man does what he has to do, Jackson.
I know. It's like with me. That herd of mine beds down without water. Most of them won't get off the ground in the morning. So law or no law, we're going through that fence tonight.
Matt.
Huh? Oh,
what's the matter? Bad liquor or a busted string?
Neither. How are you?
Eager. But you probably noticed that before. Seriously, though, what's wrong?
Plenty. One of the bloodiest little range wars you ever saw is just about to break.
Out of Cottonwood Pond, I heard about it.
Did you hear, too, that I'm back on the wrong side?
Here, pull a stool up to the bar. Harry, drink for Mr. Dillon.
No, thanks. I can't stay, Kitty. I got to try to round up some deputies, and try is probably about as far as I'm going to get. Old Tom will be siding with the Texas boys against Howard. And against me.
Maybe you ought to switch sides, Matt.
Oh, sure, I ought to, I know, but I can't. If I started making my own rules, it'd mean the end of law and order in Dodge City. Yeah, I just can't do it, Kitty. Much as I'd like to.
Well, not for me to say. You're the one who has to decide.
Yeah, Chester. What'd you find out?
Mr. Hightower down at the railroad depot checked clear through to Topeka. They can't get enough cattle cars here to load that herd out before day after tomorrow.
Well, that's that. It's an outside chance anyway. Yeah, I just can't do it, Kitty. Much as I'd like to.
Well, not for me to say. You're the one who has to decide.
Chester. What'd you find out?
Mr. Hightower down at the railroad depot checked clear through to Topeka. They can't get enough cattle cars here to load that herd out before day after tomorrow.
Well, that's that. It's an outside chance, anyway. I thought we might load him up fast, Kitty, and run him up to Walnut Creek. It's still got a little water in it. But I...
Matt, there's something wrong with a law that upholds a low-down scheme like this.
Well, what Howard's doing is wrong morally, but it's right legally. I gotta find a legal way to stop him.
I bet a lawyer could find a way of some kind. Too bad this town doesn't have one.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Just the same matter.
Yeah, what is it?
My name's Fenton. I'm range boy.
Yeah, I know. You work for Dyke Howard. Well, what's on your mind?
Well, Mr. Howard figures you ought to be arranging to protect his property.
Jackson gave me his word he'd lay off until 9 tonight.
His word, sure. But Mr. Howard figures it'd be a good idea if you deputize his riders.
Fenton, get up.
Oh, wait a second, Martin.
Go on, get up. When I want Howard's advice, I'll ask for it. Now go tell him that.
Well, yeah, but...
Go on, get up. Move. Deputize his riders. Sure, he'd like
that. Well, it just may come to that, Mr. Dillon. I couldn't get anybody else. For the...
You know, I ought to throw this badge away and go out there and help Jackson cut that fence.
Matt, I still think what you ought to do...
Yeah, I know. I ought to get a lawyer.
Well...
Well, Kitty, the only lawyer Dodge City ever saw was that young fellow from Boston who died here last year on his way...
What is it, man?
Chester, what happened to those books of his?
Well... Nobody never claimed them. They're still in the back of the jail there somewhere.
That's a long shot, but... Kitty, I love you.
Matt.
Come on, Chester, let's find those books.
All right, that's the first portion of Gunsmoke with Drop Dead from September 20th, 1952, starring William Conrad. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, thanks, David. Welcome back. It is 11:35 here on a Saturday evening, and we asked our listeners to help us out, text us in, and Curtis, we've had a lot of texts, but we need more, right?
Yes, we still need more. So you still have until midnight to chime in and get your vote on to Carl and Lisa's story that they shared earlier, so feel free to do that. I'm monitoring the text as we speak.
All right, the number to text in. Want to hear from our listeners. Do you know your co-hosts?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's really, I'm not going to say anything about, you know, what we feel yet, but it's really interesting to read not only what the opinions are, but why and the rationale behind them. And it's really interesting to read,
yeah,
you know, what people think of us.
Do
behind
you
the
know
scenes.
Your co-hosts? And we're getting to know our listeners because
that's
of what they're
true.
Writing. 312-981-7200. Texas, we need your help. We need you to help us solve a dispute. All right, let's get back now to the conclusion of Gunsmoke.
I don't know, Chester. Take a man a year just to learn what these words mean.
Well, I sure can't help you, Mr. Dillon. Looky there. Tort. Replevin. Statutory malfeasance. Why don't they write the laws out in English?
It'd be no work for lawyers. The only thing that might do it is this one. I'm not too sure what it means.
Evening, Matt.
Oh, Doc, come on in here, will you?
I figured I'd bring you a little courage for the battle.
What?
Might be snakes out at Cottonwood Pond.
It's very thoughtful.
Yes, sir. Calomel and Irish whiskey. No doctor west of the Mississippi ought to be without him. The calomel's for the woman, you understand?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Of course, a bottle of Jameson might not cure a patient, but it sure makes him enjoy his illness.
Yeah. Look, Doc, you've been to school. At least I guess you have.
Oh, well, I browsed through a couple.
Well, listen to this now. Now, tell me what you think about this paragraph right here.
Well, let me see. A schedule of territorial ordinances and judicial precedents. Handbook for local administrators. Well, I didn't go to law school, man.
No, but you've read books and you know big words. Now, listen to this. The local administrator or other duly constituted authority in a territorial division is hereby empowered to declare a state of acute emergency in case of riot, rebellion, or any natural catastrophe which threatens the general welfare. Now, Doc, would you say I'm a duly constituted authority, huh?
Well, in Dodge City, I guess you're about the only authority.
Yeah, now, would you say this drought we're having is a threat to the general welfare?
Well, I've never seen a worse one, but...
All right, now listen to this.
Yeah?
During the period of such emergency, the officer in charge is authorized to seize, confiscate, allocate, or otherwise administer critical materials and facilities in accordance with a common need and his own discretion.
All right, Matt. Water is a material.
Yeah?
And as far as keeping cattle alive is concerned, Cottonwood Pond is a facility.
That's all I wanted to know.
I don't see how it'll help you, though, Matt. Howard will never stand for it. You're still going to have a pitched battle on your hands.
Maybe so, Doc. But at least I'll be fighting in the way I want to fight. Well, come on, Chester. Let's go. It's 8 o'clock. That's dark now. Must be pushing 9 o'clock. Hope they don't jump the gun on us, Chester.
I figure Jackson will stick by his word, Mr. Dillon.
If Howard lets him.
You know, we might get a break in this drought if that storm comes this way.
No, I'd say it's only heat lightning. All thunder, no rain.
Well, if it goes on a few more weeks, this prairie will be dried right down to the nubbin.
All right, hold it. Pull up them horses.
He's right there by the fence, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I see it.
Who's there? Well, speak up.
I usually answer bushwhackers with a six gun. This is your lucky night, Fenton.
Oh, Marshal, I didn't know.
Where's your boss?
I'm right here, Dillon. About time you got here. That mob may try to rush the fence any minute now.
Not yet, Howard. I said 9 o'clock. You got 5 minutes yet.
Come on over here, Jackson. I want you to hear this, too.
I kind of wish you'd stayed out of it, Marshal. Rather not have fought against you.
Never mind. Mr. Howard, by the authority vested in me as a U.S. Marshal and under the territorial laws and ordinances of the United States, I'm hereby declaring a state of acute emergency due to the drought.
What are you talking about, Dillon?
The U.S. Territorial Ordinance Schedule of 1858, Section 721C.
What are you trying to say?
Just this. For the duration of the emergency, I am taking charge of Cottonwood Pond in the name of the United States government. And I'm allocating use of it to Mr. Jackson here to water his herd. Now, if you want to try to make a deal with him, you got 5 minutes before I cut the wire and open the fence.
I've never bought water before, but I'll give you 10 cents a head, Howard. How about it?
I'll see you dead first. And I'll be struck dead myself before I see one head of your stock onto my property. Dillon, I don't know what's behind this move. Maybe you've sold out, made a deal of your own.
Easy, Howard.
If not that, then you've lost your mind.
Your 5 minutes are running out now. What are you going to do?
Fight! What do you think I'm going to do?
Going to resist the law?
You call it the law, I don't. Dillon, I'm giving my boys orders to shoot any man who lays a hand on this fence. And that goes for you.
Listen to me, Howard. You got a chance to do something that costs you nothing and means life or death to somebody else. And you're refusing to do it. Well, I'm sorry to see it that way. But in any case, this herd gets water.
Maybe they will. All right, boys, you heard it. Keep that fence covered. Right. If they want to fight, I'll get one.
Jackson, I guess I'm going to need some deputies.
Well, I got 25 men here, Marshal. They're yours if you want them.
All right, boys. Will you all raise your right hands? Do you swear to uphold the Constitution, ordinances, and bylaws of the United States to the best of your ability, so help you?
I do.
All right, you're all temporary deputy marshals acting under my orders. Now bunch the cattle in this way and start them through the fence as soon as I open the wire.
They won't need much starting, Marshal. They've been smelling that water for hours.
Now don't shoot unless you're fired on. If you are, protect yourselves and your herd. All right, let's go.
Keep those flankers closing them in toward the opening here. They growl on that fence, they'll cut themselves to ribbons.
Right, boss.
Over this way.
Chester, come here, man.
Yes, sir.
You got the wire cutters?
Here you are, Mr. Dillon. You know, I think we got a fight on our hands.
Yeah, I guess. All right, keep me covered.
I'll watch the left over here.
All right, Mr. Jackson.
Well, there's one strand left.
They're cutting the fence, Mr. Howard.
All right, fire at the flash, Chester.
Yes, sir. Oh, my gracious, I wish there was a moon.
There's one more strand.
I spotted him.
Here's the last one.
All right, boys, the fence is open. Bring him through.
Come on, through, boys. Heads up, Chester. They won't give in this easy.
Yeah, you can hear them out there, but you can't see for the dust.
Yeah. Wind's coming up off that cloud. Oh, come on. Let's try to find Howard. I'm going to take him in for attempted murder.
Last time I heard him, he was down along the fence here, Summers.
All right, boys! Fire the grass!
What the?
Look! Look at them torches, Mr. Dillon. They're setting fire in the grass.
Yeah. As dry as it is, they'll start the whole prairie blazing. Jackson! Get your herd through the fence. They're trying to stampede it.
It'll take more than fire to turn those cattle away from Waller.
I guess you're right. Look, send as many of your boys as you can to help me. We got to get that fire stopped and fast.
I don't know, Mr. Dillon. I don't know if we're winning or losing.
Well, if that backfire holds it, we're winning, Chester. Otherwise...
Couldn't have been a worse time. The prairie's dry as gunpowder.
Well, at least the herd's safe. They wouldn't leave that fawn if the whole world caught fire.
Any orders for the boys, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, just have them keep working along the edge of the backfire. Pick us, beat out any sparks that get across.
Right, Marshal, I got you.
Have you seen anything of the Howard gang?
Oh, not a sign. I guess they figured they'd done all they could.
Yeah, maybe.
Mr. Dillon, I'd swear a storm's gonna break. I can halfway smell the rain.
I don't know about that, Chester. But it's doing one thing it won't help us.
What do you mean?
Look, the wind's shifting. It's starting to drive those flames across the backfire.
Well, if it catches air again, it'll get clear away from
us. Yeah, it sure will. Now, come on. Let's grab some of the boys and start working behind them.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Go, Dillon.
Well, Fenton, I figured you'd be halfway to the Mexican border by now.
You figured wrong. You keep your hands still, both of you. One move and it's your last move.
That's about the way you planned it anyway, isn't it?
You wiped us out, Dillon. That backfire of yours took the ranch house and the barns. There's nothing for us to do now but drift. Only first I'm going to kill you.
Hit the dirt, Chester. Fenton, drop the gun. You're under arrest.
I'll drop it, you dirt.
Dillon. Dillon, I... Well, you warned him, Mr. Dillon.
That doesn't matter much now. Look, Chester.
Yes, sir. It's jumped the backfire. With that wind driving it, it'll burn the whole prairie from here clear to the river.
And Dodge City along with it. Not a way in the world of stopping it either.
I heard the shot, Marshal. You all right?
I'm sick at my stomach, that's all. Dodge City's gonna burn, Jackson, and there's nothing we can do.
I sure didn't figure on this. I let him have the herd, gladly.
No, it's my fault. I should have jumped him first.
The man does what he has to, Marshal. I don't think that's your way.
Well, maybe my way's the wrong way. When it leads to burning 10,000 acres of prairie in a whole town, there must be something
wrong.
Wait,
Mr. Dillon.
What is it, Chester?
I told you, I told you I could smell it.
Smell what? What the devil is... Rain!
Yes, sir!
By heavens, it's starting to rain!
By heaven may be the right expression.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know it's the only thing that can save Dodge. Well, come on, rain! Faster! Cut loose and rain, will you?
You're doing it, Mr. Dillon. Look at it. He's down on that fire.
Rain. Just, you know, out here on the frontier sometimes, when a thing like this happens, makes you wonder if maybe... Well, I don't know. Come on, Chester, let's find our horses.
It's sure not letting up any, Mr. Dillon.
No. We're still quite a ways from Tom. Let's swing over along the bluff, Chester, and find a place to wait it out for a while, huh?
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Come on.
Well, it took a long time to break loose, but it's sure making up for luck. Wow! I never saw lightning this before.
Usually lets up once the rain starts. I guess it's just a freak storm anyway.
What?
Off your horse, Chester. Flat on the ground.
I saw a flash, Mr. Dillon. It come from that lone cottonwood tree.
Yeah. It's a bad spot. He's got cover and we haven't. Well, I guess we found out what happened to Mr. Howard.
All right, Howard. Come out with your hands up. You're under arrest.
Why don't you come and get me, Dillon?
I'm going to flip a shot at the tree, Chester. Roll away as soon as I fire.
Yes, sir.
All right. No.
Ah, Dillon. But not smart enough.
That was close.
There's enough light for him to see. He's got all the odds. If he keeps it up, he'll get us sure.
Maybe we might just well rush him, Mr. Dillon. We haven't got much to lose.
That's an outside chance, Chester. That he's bound to get one of us.
Yeah, but this way it's both.
Yeah, I know. All right. We'll go in on the count of three. Then out and move fast.
Yes, sir.
And good luck, Chester.
Same to you, Mr. Dillon.
All right. One. Two.
Mr. Dillon, what happened?
It was lightning. Struck the tree. I think Howard's lying over there on the ground. Come on. Yeah. He's down, all right.
He said he'd be struck dead before he'd ever give in. Well, he was.
By heaven, I don't know. The second time tonight. You know, Chester, I think I'm going to change my ways.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell and Lou Krugman, with Joe Duvall, Barney Phillips, and Georgia Ellis. Parley Bear is Chester and Howard McNair is Doc. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
That's Gunsmoke. Good Western adventure. These are always great stories on Gunsmoke. Terrific writing, great acting. William Conrad starring as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, a show called Drop Dead from September 20th, 1952. Heard on CBS Radio. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Let's give a welcome home salute to those in uniform returning from service. They have stood tall, strong, and proud fighting terrorism and protecting our nation's freedom. They have answered the call of duty when we needed them most, making this country what it is today. This salute is courtesy of Celtic Environmental in Chicago, serving you with quality and pride. For information on the services they provide, call 708-442-5823. That's 708-442-5823. That's Celtic Environmental on the air saluting our troops.
All right. Well, we have our tally. We will tell you all about it in the next hour because it's time for WGN. Well, actually, you have a minute
still. We have about 1 minute.
Yeah, you can still text in.
1 minute to text
in. We'll take all the texts that come in at 312-981-7200. Text in if you think that story was about Lisa's daughter or my daughter and the advice that we gave. You have about 45 seconds. Text us in 312-981-7200.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, thanks, David. It is 6 minutes after midnight here on the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning, playing all your favorite classic radio shows. In this hour, it's The Adventures of Maisie, good comedy from 1950, starring Ann Southern. And then in our third hour, we'll be tuning in to The Adventures of Michael Shane Detective, starring Jeff Chandler from 1948. So in our first hour, we had a little dispute.
Which is not unusual for
and,
us.
And we had our dispute counter, Curtis Koch.
Is that my official title now?
Yes, that is your new title.
And it's, it's a good role.
You know what?
And it pays well.
And the school system that taught him well. He was able to count all the votes that came in. How many votes were there, Curtis?
There were a total amount of 63 votes. Thank
wow.
you to everybody
Thanks,
who texted
everyone.
In.
Yeah.
To the
63 votes.
63 votes, yeah.
Okay.
To the 33 of you who voted for Carl, you are correct.
33. So I only basically lost this bet by three votes.
By 3 votes.
So it was not a landslide. Lisa said it's going to be a landslide. So let's tell everyone, it was my daughter. It was my daughter that called me and said, Dad, I went on a blind date, and the guy, I was really kind of dismayed. The guy pulled up to pick me up on a first date, blind date, in a car covered with bird poop, covered in bird poop. And, you know, the date was fine, you know, nothing to be, you know, either way. He was fine, but I was kind of taken aback by the fact that he had bird poop all over his car. What do you think? And I said, well, I think anyone that would show up on a first date, I mean, I don't care about the car, whether it's a dented car or an old car. That has nothing to do with it. You know, we don't know his financial status. The thing is, do you pull up to a full first date in a car that is filled with bird poop on it? And from head to toe, you know, the front of the car to the back of the car, I said, I wouldn't give you the advice to go out with this guy again. He's obviously.
So you told her not to go out with him again.
I said, I wouldn't go out with him again.
And then she
didn't. I wouldn't go out with him again.
And she didn't.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That was my advice.
Okay.
And Lisa was like, that's terrible.
Well, I don't see it that way.
See, first impression is very important.
Well,
I
sure,
think.
But let me just say why I said that.
Yeah.
I don't think that the bird poop on the car should be the deciding factor in whether you choose to date a guy. So to me, that is so low on the totem pole of decision making. I guess I would look first to the guy himself and his character. And unfortunately,
wow,
bird
that's
poop.
That's altruistic to say that. I understand, but
it's not altruistic.
My point about it is, a first impression is very important. You
yes,
can't
but
make a first impression.
A wonderful guy, and this could have been the guy she was going to marry.
Okay.
And you told her not to go out with him again because he happened to park under a tree an hour before
life.
The date.
I completely.
So you completely
her.
Ruined her life.
I ruined her life.
Pretty
what
much.
A terrible
it.
Father I am.
But there you go. Carl and I disagree
you know
about most
our,
things.
Many of our, well, but we, I thought it was going to be a landslide. I thought people were going to be like, you don't go out with a guy that's bird poop all over his car.
And I thought
can't
it was going to be a landslide
can't even take 5 minutes to wash his car.
Who was going to say, so he parked under a tree, unfortunately,
no.
but was
no,
he a great
all
guy?
Dry
and that's the
bird
question.
Poop all over.
Was he a great guy?
Well, she said he was fine.
Okay. Well, then that's
fine.
More important than
so,
the bird poop.
But
Sorry.
You know what? It was not a landslide. I only lost this bet by 3 votes.
So tell them what you have to do because you lost the bet.
Pizza.
Next weekend.
I'm going to buy a pizza for Lisa and Curtis.
That's right.
And Shante.
That's right.
And
a large
David.
From Lou
Whoever's
Malnati's.
Whoever's here can have some Lou Malnati's pizza
right.
on me. Well, that guy with the bird poop cost me a pizza.
That's right, he did. I think it was your advice.
But you know,
yeah,
your
daughter's
advice.
future husband just cost
no
you a pizza.
She's no longer going to get married
so,
because of this.
You know what this says about our listeners, though?
That they know
half
us.
Half of them know us very well.
Yes.
The other half thought it was you.
Well, all the ones that said that that this was Carl, they were right because this is not what the advice
right,
that I would give to myself or my
half
daughter.
Half of the people
That's true.
Thought it was you.
So you learned a little
Ms.
bit about
Snooty,
us.
It's because she's Miss Snooty Tootie, right?
But I'm not Snooty Tootie because I'm the one that cares more about the guy and his character.
Actually, I would be appalled if somebody picked me up. It was a first date.
I might say, hey, you need a car wash.
From the 708, the bird poop is part of his character.
That could be.
He's very poopy.
That could be.
He's a very poopy guy.
For better or worse.
You know, but I understand where you're coming from on this, Lisa. I understand. It's all about the guy. I do get that. But I also am a big believer in first impression.
What if he parked under a tree the hour before he got here and it was an unfortunate situation?
Then be 5 minutes late picking her up and run it through a car wash.
Well, I think he's
allowed
to... Don't
pick a person up in a car filled with bird poop.
I just don't think it's that important. Sorry.
All right. Well, when we come back from the break... Well, no, we got to do our game. Let's do our game.
Sorry. Real or ridiculous?
Yeah, real or ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. Our celebrity is Sissy Spacek.
Ah, yeah.
And we are going to be giving away 2 tickets to Porchlight Revisits, Minnie's Boys. I'm going to tell
you. What's that?
It is a look at the young Marx Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
cool.
And it charts their journey from vaudeville to Hollywood.
Love to see that.
Yes, I can hook you up.
Is that Porchlight?
It is. It's a series called Porchlight Revisits. It's going to be there May 22nd and 23rd at
Ruth
Peake
Center
for the Arts.
Wow, that's perfect for our listeners.
I know.
All right, so if you want to play the game, is it real or is it ridiculous, sponsored by Cat's Pride, call now, 312-981-7200. What caller would you like?
Caller number 3. So
Lisa
call
says
right
caller
now.
3. Call now. We'll play the game live on the air after these words. Come on, baby. Let's get
ridiculous. All right. We're going to do a little real and ridiculous with Sissy Spacek. And we have Jeff on the phone. Hey, Jeff.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Just peachy.
Terrific. Carl's a good lifeline, and we'll see how it goes. The first statement is, in 2015, she began playing Sally Rayburn on the Netflix series Bloodline. Real or ridiculous?
I'm going to say ridiculous.
What year, Lisa?
2015, she began playing Sally Rayburn on the Netflix series Bloodline.
I'm going to say real.
That is real.
All right. So that's
all
for
right.
you, Jeff. Sorry, buddy.
That's okay. No problem. Right. Number 2, her first Academy Award nomination was for her role as Carrie in the horror movie Carrie. Is that real or ridiculous?
I believe ridiculous. I think it was Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. I think she was not only nominated, but she won for Coal Miner's Daughter. Was that after Carrie?
Her first Academy Award nomination was for her role as Carrie. That was in 1976.
Both wrong on that one, Jeff.
Wow.
Sorry. All right, number 3.
Coal Miner's Daughter must have been after Carrie then. That's
I think
weird.
It was.
Huh.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. Okay. In 2012, she published a memoir titled Not That Kind of Girl. Real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
I agree with Jeff.
That is ridiculous.
All right.
All right. You did a good job. And either way, you get to see a great show. It hasn't opened yet, but I've heard great things about it. And Porchlight does wonderful shows. It's 2 tickets to Porchlight Revisits, Minnie's Boys, May 22nd and 23rd. It's at Ruth Page Center for the Arts. It's a loving look at the young Marx Brothers as they chart their journey from vaudeville toward Hollywood and their invention of the grease paint mustache, the honking horn, and the tickling of the famous piano keys. Go to Porchlight Music. Yeah, go to porchlightmusictheater.org for tickets. A perfect promo for our show.
Yeah, I like Groucho.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And it's a perfect
say this is your word and divide it by honor.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Jeff, for
Thanks,
playing.
Jeff.
I hope you love the show at Porchlight.
All right, buddy. All right, so we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts, and thanks for helping us out with our dispute. And, Lisa, you won by 3 votes, and I will, I'll pay up. I'll buy a pizza.
Well, and most importantly, I hope that our listeners learned a little something about us, because there's no wrong or right here. It's
somebody
just,
texted
right.
in earlier and said, you can't judge a book by its cover. And you know what? That's absolutely true. So that does that is true. But I also believe you can't make a first impression twice.
You know, there's plenty of people that think I'm right and plenty of people who think I'm wrong. So, you know, it's just there's no right or wrong here.
You don't have a second chance to make a first impression. Is that how it goes?
That's true,
something like that.
I still think he could make a good first impression, even though his car got dirty on the way. Sorry,
don't date him if he's not going to wash his car. Come on. All right. It's time for The Adventures of Maisie. This is a great series. Anne Southern starred as Maisie Revere and came to radio originally in 1945, lasted all the way into the 1950s. And there was a great supporting cast on here. Sheldon Leonard was on these shows. In fact, he's in this episode, too. Hi Averback, Arthur Q. Bryan, Hans Conried, Peter Leeds, Virginia Gregg. And Maisie was a beautiful, sassy, and street-smart American working woman turned woman of the world. Sort of like you, Lisa. Just like you, in fact. And she had her own radio series. Of course, it was a very fun series of MGM movies with Anne Southern. And the radio series was a big hit as well. Let's go back to November 9th, 1950. This is called The Restoro Skin Rejuvenator. Anne Southern in The Adventures of Maisie.
Hiya, babe. Say, how about a little... Ouch.
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Anne Southern. Remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie pictures. In just a moment, you'll hear Maisie in radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Anne Southern. And now, here's Anne Southern as Maisie.
Yep, I'm Maisie, like the fella said, Maisie Revere, Brooklyn's challenge to the world outside. Believe me, I found out a long time ago that you can't be a dreamer and a realist at the same time. If you're going to have your head in the clouds and your feet on the ground, you're going to wind up with your back to the wall. So to keep body and soul and stomach on speaking terms, I take odd jobs. And believe me, some of the jobs I've taken are odd enough to make Ripley's column. A couple of weeks ago, I got a job as a cigarette girl in one of those swank joints in Nevada. But I quit because some of the men at the dice table made too many passes. Right now, I'm on the train going back to Brooklyn and my fella, Eddie Jordan. And those passes haven't stopped. I've had to change my seat 5 times already.
Say, babe, how about...
6 times. Oh, conductor, conductor.
Yes, miss. It's you again.
Yes.
Well, what's the complaint this time? Did the engineer blow the train whistle just when you finally fell asleep again?
Oh, no. The engineer's been very nice about that. I appreciate your talking to him, conductor.
Oh, not at all, miss. I just couldn't live with myself if I thought that you weren't enjoying every moment of our little jaunt over hill and dale.
Oh. Well, in that case, conductor, I know you wouldn't mind doing me another favor. Change my seat again.
Yeah. Well, miss, look, we'll be coming into Harmon in a few minutes, and there'll be passengers getting off, lucky devils, and perhaps you can find a seat further up in the car.
Oh, okay, I'll get my things.
Oh, conductor! Conductor?
Yes, sir? Oh, it's you again, Mr. Smith.
Yes, conductor. Is the...
Train on time? Yes, sir. I promised you that it would be way back in Ohio and in Illinois and also in Michigan.
Hey, good. I've got to be back in Harmon. Got to meet a customer in a half an hour at my office.
Yes, well, we'll be in Harmon in time for your appointment, Mr. Smith, or I will never speak to the engineer again. We're pulling in right now. Say, by the way, since you're getting off here, I wonder if you'd mind relinquishing your seat to a young lady. She's had a bit of wolf trouble.
Well, certainly she can have my seat. Where is the young lady?
She's coming down the aisle now. Well, bye, Mr. Smith, and thanks.
Well, pardon me, miss. You may have my seat.
You're wasting your time, playboy.
Now, look, miss, you're making a big mistake.
I know. You're lonesome and very rich, and you have a nice wife that's kind to your kids, but she's grown old and dried out.
You know Clarissa?
No, but I know your type. So don't think you can start the beginning of a beautiful friendship by giving me your seat, Mr. Wolf.
Wolf? Miss, my name is Smith.
Oh, ain't it always? And I suppose your first name is John.
Why, yeah. Oh, then you've heard about me.
Oh, yes, yes. Just about the same time I heard about the birds and the bees.
Harmon! All off for Harmon!
Oh, my goodness. Here, miss...
Don't get up, mister. I don't want to play your way, so just sit there.
Yeah, why don't you dare push me back in the seat?
And stay there, sonny. You just ain't my type.
Yes, but I'm not that type. Miss, I am 58 years old today.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, miss, I'm in a hurry.
At that age, they always are. Keep your seat, Foxy Grandpa. I'll find something up ahead.
All aboard!
Oh, how dare you pull me into your lap, you wolf!
Me pull you? The train jolted. Oh, you slapped me.
Well, that'll teach you a lesson, and you better make yourself pretty scarce when we get to New York. My boyfriend, Eddie Jordan, is waiting for me at the station, and he's got a terrible temper.
Well, so have I, and I'm boiling. Harmon was my station, and you made me pass it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, why didn't you say so?
Maisie!
Eddie!
Gosh, Maisie, it seems like years. Come here, baby.
Phew, I didn't think I'd been away that long.
Gosh, I'm glad you're back, Maisie.
I'm glad you're glad I'm back, too, Eddie.
I'm glad we're together again.
I'm glad we're together again, too, Eddie.
Gee, you're beautiful.
You're beautiful, too, Eddie.
While you were away, I didn't even look at anybody else.
I better go and get my bags.
Oh, always kidding. Look, honey, it's a beautiful day. I got a reservation on a quiet little bench in the park, and, well, I haven't seen you in an eternity.
Well, I'll keep, honey, but your job won't, so you better get back and I'll... Oh, no, Eddie. No, not again.
Uh-huh.
But you only had that job in the shoe store a month. You always last at least 6 weeks on a job.
Yeah, but I can explain, Maisie. The boss fired me for something I didn't do.
What didn't you do?
I didn't sell anything.
Oh, Eddie.
Look, honey, don't you worry your pretty head about little Eddie. I've got another job cooking.
Cooking what?
I mean the Smith Company up in Harmon are looking for crack salesmen.
Oh, that's silly. Who'd want to buy cracks?
It's Restoro Skin Rejuvenator, baby.
Oh.
The Smith Company up in Harmon that manufactures the goo is looking for go-getters.
Well, what are we waiting around here for? Let's go up to Harmon and get.
Stop buzzing me, Miss Jenkins. I want to have my nervous breakdown quietly. Oh, if I ever lay my hands on that girl who made me miss my station, there's a salesman here with a girl? I'll tell him I don't want any girls. I'm a woman hater, starting an hour ago. Oh, he's applying for that job I advertised about. Oh, okay, you send him in. After losing that big order this morning, I can use a salesman. A good one.
Good morning, Mr. Smith. Eddie Jordan is here. You've got nothing to worry about anymore.
Well, that's nice, Mr. Jordan. I thank you, and my ulcers thank you. Jordan, we're looking for bright young men who can sell our Restoro Skin Rejuvenator, the quickest-acting tissue rebuilder that $5 a jar can buy.
Yes, Mr. Smith. Is this stuff any good?
It comes in a very attractive jar.
Is it any good?
And it contains the magic element, Tragisgrund.
Is it any good?
Oh, come now, Jordan. For $5 a jar, you can't expect everything. Now tell me, Jordan, you ever sold before?
Mr. Smith, have you heard my reputation as a salesman?
You know I haven't. I'm sorry.
I'm glad.
Huh?
I said I'd be glad to demonstrate to you what I can do.
Well, that's fair enough, Jordan. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a crack at selling Restoro. If you click, you'll get $80 a week and commissions.
Gosh, $80.
All right, then, 85. You drive a hard bargain, Jordan.
I do? Yes, J.S., I do. Maisie will vouch for that.
Maisie?
My intended. She's waiting outside.
Well, have her come in, Jordan. Always like to meet the wives or intendeds of my employees. Because it's too bad they're always women, but I guess that can't be helped.
No, sir. I'll call her. Oh, Maisie, come on in, please. Will you see her, Mr. Smith? She's gorgeous. One of those girls that strike your eye the first time you meet her.
Yes, I ran into one of those on the train this morning. My eye still hurts.
You called me Eddie.
Oh, yes, honey. I got the job, and this is my boss, Mr. Smith.
Oh, how do you do?
The pleasure's all mine, miss. Haven't I met you before?
Me?
Oh, but that's impossible, Mr. Smith. She just got in this morning from Nevada.
She did? By train, perchance?
Oh, no, I walked.
Oh, you walked?
Uh-huh.
All the way from Nevada?
Oh, well, I didn't mind. It was downhill most of the way.
Maisie, I don't get this. Only this morning I met you.
And we fell in love at first sight. And now you're going to be the salesman for Restoro, the finest, the finest thing that only a giant brain like Mr. Smith's could conceive.
Oh, yes. Well, I guess I mistook you for some other pest. I mean, girl. you do look like a smart girl. And I'd like to discuss Eddie's future with you. Here, have a seat.
And, well, no, thank you, Mr. Smith.
Let's see. Yeah, the girl who made me miss my station.
Oh, well, so I was. Well, I don't know if anybody ever told you this before, Mr. Smith, but you have the loveliest laugh.
Look, I thought we were going to discuss my job.
Job? Are you insane?
I don't get it.
Exactly.
That's what I was afraid of.
No, get out of here, both of you. Out.
But Mr. Smith...
Oh, come on, Eddie. I'll tell you all about it while you sit there and beat out my brains with a feather. Let's go back to Brooklyn.
Miss Jenkins, call my car.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Mr. Smith. We'll take a bus.
I didn't mean for you. Goodbye.
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment.
All right, that's the first portion of The Adventures of Maisie from 1950. You hear the quality of that? Well, that's because we have the master recordings of these Maisie radio shows, just like we have the master recordings of nearly 100,000 radio shows, because we license them. And we have a club for you to join where you can get master quality sound, classic radio shows on CD or via digital download. Learn all about it because you can join the club for only $1 the first month at ClassicRadioClub.com. Just log on to ClassicRadioClub.com. It's all there. You can join the CD program or join the digital download program, and you do that for only $1 the first month. Right, Lisa?
Yep, where I'm a member.
Yes,
and
you are.
I love getting my CDs in the mail once
Lisa
a month.
Lisa likes CDs, yeah.
Well, I like the downloads, too. Yeah. It's just when I joined...
But it's easy for you to let your dad and mom listen to them,
when
too.
When I joined, CD. You didn't have the digital option yet.
Very true.
So I can go either way.
Yeah. All right, well, check it out, ClassicRadioClub.com. All right, we have a little commercial, then we're going to go to news, and then more of Adventures of Maisie. Lisa bought some fruit before the show here, and I'm having some fruit, and Curtis and Lisa say I chew aloud when I'm eating my fruit. Is that true?
Oh, Curtis, you can take this one.
Am I really?
Should I imitate it on
the
air?
Yeah, how do I sound? Really? Gosh,
you're
a
very
habit.
Loud chewer.
That's a bad habit.
I.
Well, maybe that's not good. Maybe I would tell my daughter if the guy chews loud, don't date him.
Your poor daughter.
You know, people are still texting in, and a lot more people are seeing it my way.
I would say, I think if we had more people text in.
Right,
during
Curtis?
That time, you might have actually
because
gotten
more
off
people
the hook
are
there.
Because you just it's a bad first impression, which means maybe the guy's kind of dirty. He's not going to clean his house,
or maybe there was a bird under a tree on his
maybe
way
there was
to
like,
your daughter's house.
Maybe it was like he drove there. You know, if he would have said, "Excuse me, Amanda, I know this is the first time we're going on a date here, and I'm really embarrassed by my car. I didn't have time to clean it. I was under a tree." You know, if he would have said something like that, but he didn't. He just
well, because
picked
he
her
probably
up
didn't want to call attention to it.
Filled car.
Well, that might be a little dramatic.
No, she said it was from the back to the front, poop all over it. I'm like, don't date that guy anymore.
All right. Well, each to their own. I'm done.
All right. Time for WGN News. Well, you know, Roger hasn't chimed in on this debate here, Roger. What do you think?
And I never will.
And you never will. Okay.
Roger, very unlike you.
No, I'm just being diplomatic.
Oh, that's right. Unlike you.
Well, that's very unlike you.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Drivers, when you take to the roadway, stay off your phone. Arrive alive. Don't text and drive. This message, courtesy of Nick's Towing, serving our listeners with quality, reliability, and pride. For all of your roadside assistance needs, including flats, fuel delivery, jump starts, lockouts, and more, call 847-671-5290 or 630-774-9769. That's Nick's Towing on the air, reminding everyone to arrive alive. Don't text and and drive.
Will Nick's Towing pick up a car with poop all over it?
I don't know. You should probably give
them
a call.
I'll ask them. I'm going to find out.
Yeah, maybe that's important
to know.
Yeah, I
don't think they can tow a car with poop on it.
Yeah, I think that would be really disrespectful.
All right. Well, it's time now for the conclusion to The Adventures of Maisie.
And now, back to Maisie.
But, Eddie, how was I to know Mr. Smith would turn out to be your boss? I ain't, you'll pardon the expression, physic.
The thing I can't get through my noggin, Maisie, is how you mistook Mr. Smith for a wolf.
Well, he was a man, a traveling man, and I thought I saw his eyes traveling. Eddie.
Yeah?
You're not mad at me anymore. I mean, not like you was, are you?
No. I'm the one I'm mad at. I'm a flop, and I guess I always will be.
No, you won't, Eddie. You got everything it takes.
Yeah, but I can't find anybody who'll take what I got.
Well, someday you will, honey. Someday you'll be a big success.
You mean like Mr. Smith?
Oh, he's not a success, Eddie. The way I look at it, men like him are failures.
Some failure, I'll say.
Yeah, I thought that would make you feel better. Oh, Eddie, here's a drugstore. Are you hungry?
Oh, you go ahead, honey. I got a lot of unfinished worrying to do. Meet you at the bus station in about an hour.
Oh, well, okay. And be careful crossing streets, honey.
Oh, I won't get hit by a car, baby. With my kind of luck, I'll never collect on my insurance. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Yes, miss? How about a nice sandwich for lunch today? We got Swiss chicken salad and hubba, hubba.
Hubba, hubba. See, they're making sandwiches out of everything nowadays, aren't they? Oh, Terry Jackson.
Maisie Revere.
Well, you a soda jerk.
Well, why not? Since I packed in show business, I've been every other kind of a jerk. How's it been going, Maisie, huh?
Oh, well, as far as I'm concerned, they can change the song title to There's No Business in Show Business.
Uh-huh.
I'll have a hamburger and coffee, Terry.
Oh, sure, sure. With everything like you used to?
No, just leave off the onions. I got a boyfriend now.
Oh.
Oh, poor Eddie, that's my fella. He just don't get no... Say, Terry.
Huh?
That man who just went over to the drug counter, that's Mr. Smith. My boyfriend Eddie applied to him for a job this morning.
Service! Service! I want an aspirin!
And you tried to help Eddie?
Yeah, and if that Mr. Smith had a heart, if he had a little sympathy, he'd... Oh, listen, Terry.
What?
I got an idea, and I'll need your help.
Well, sure, Maisie. What's the deal?
Well, look. I'll pretend that I'm going
to... Well, it's about time you waited on me, young man. I want an aspirin, but fast. Oh, my head is splitting.
It is, huh? I thought maybe that was just the way you part your hair.
Oh, fresh, huh?
No, just witty. What's that you wanted?
An aspirin.
I was talking to this young lady. She's first.
Thank you.
Hey, look, I'm first. You. A clerk, she's why I need the aspirin.
Oh, quiet already. Now, miss, what can I do for you?
How's your poison today, mister?
Oh, very good. We just got some in this morning, fresh.
Oh, well, I'd like some poison, please.
Yes, miss. To take out?
No, I'll drink it right here.
Why do I have to run into anybody like you whenever I'm in... Poison? You want to drink poison?
Yes. And clerk, it's pretty hot today, so put a little ice in it.
Of course, miss. And I'm sure you'll like this poison. It's called cyanide up.
But, miss, you can't. You just can't. Why, a beautiful girl like you. You've got everything to live for.
Not after I made Eddie lose his job, I don't. Clerk, I'd like a straw, please.
Oh, sure. Here you are, miss.
No, wait. Now, hold on a minute, miss. Suppose I give Jordan another chance.
Oh, Mr. Smith, you're so kind. Oh, here, have a sip.
Oh, thank you, I'm parched. No. Now, look, miss, have Jordan pick up a sample case of my Restoral Skin Rejuvenator at my office. I'll be back at 3. If he can sell just one for me by that time, the job is his.
Oh, he'll sell it all right, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, he's a great salesman, I hear. Oh, here's your aspirin, sir.
Hey, never mind. Just give me a razor blade.
Yes, sir. What makes, sir?
It makes no difference. I just wanted to cut my throat if this doesn't work out. And I've got a feeling it isn't going to.
Gosh, it worked, Maisie. Just wait till Eddie finds out about what you've done.
Yeah, Eddie. Oh, gosh, I don't know where he is, and that case must be sold by three.
What?
Terry, I've got another idea.
Well, if you need my help, I'm your boy.
Thanks. Now, look, Terry.
Uh-huh.
We got no time to lose. We're going to pick up that sample of Ristoro, sell it before three, and give Eddie the credit for it.
Gosh, Mr. Tompkins, it sure was a lucky break running into you.
I was the one who ran into you, Jordan. I mean, almost. You should look where you're going when you cross the street.
Maybe it's better I didn't. If you didn't stop to ask me if I was it and I didn't tell you, I wouldn't care if I was. I wouldn't have this job with you.
Oh, it isn't a job, Jordan. At least not yet. First, I want to see if you can sell the thing.
Oh, it's a cinch, Mr. Tompkins. I've had years of experience selling your kind of product. Years of experience. By the way, sir, what is your product?
Burial plots, Jordan.
Oh. They aren't going to be very easy to unload, Mr. Tompkins. It ain't going to be no pushover to find dead people with money.
Please, Jordan, no jests. To me, dying is a living. And when you go, there's no more beautiful final resting place than Shady Lawn at $300 a plot.
Oh, yes, sir. If you can't take it with you, let us have it to make sure you got someplace to go.
Oh, a very good selling point, Jordan. Very good. Albeit a bit gay. Now, if you sell just one plot today, just one, the job is yours and commissions.
Well, I'll take a crack at it, Mr. Tompkins. And I'll sell one plot if I have to go from door to door. And just think, madam, for a mere $300, you get this gorgeous plot just 20 minutes from the heart of the downtown shopping section. Think of the convenience.
Young man, when I'm gone, I'm not too concerned about shopping.
Well, I mean for your friends to visit you, madam, or your family.
I have no family and no friends.
Not even $300?
That I have.
Well, I realize that it's rather macabre to be discussing such a subject now, madam. After all, you're still living.
When you're an old maid like me, young man, you just go through the motions. You're not really living. I'll take one.
And there's nothing like making sure that when the time could... You will!
But make sure my plot is a nice, quiet one. There's one thing I can't stand. It's noise.
Yes, Mrs. Miss. I've got a dandy plot for you with a beautiful view. I've got to call the office and tell them that I just landed a customer, and then I got to call a certain Mr. Smith and tell him what I think of him and his job. Then I got to tell Maisie the good news. Can I use your telephone, ma'am?
I have no phone, young man. Nobody ever calls me. Nobody. There's one around the corner at the filling station.
Thanks. I'll be right back to fill out the order. Don't die before I get back. I mean, I'll see you in a few minutes.
Might as well give up, Maisie. It's 2:30 now. We've been all over this town and no sale yet.
Well, I'll just take one more crack at selling a jar, Terry. Just give me a little time in this house here. Then you ring the doorbell like before. Just stay out of sight till the time comes. Well, here goes. For Eddie.
Yes?
Good afternoon, madam. Is your great-granddaughter in?
Great-granddaughter? Why, I'm barely pushing 50... Five?
Oh, well, I guess you pushed it too hard, madam. Why, your hands are all wrinkled.
My hands happen to be my business.
Oh, on the contrary, they happen to be mine. And so is the rest of your skin. Madam, have you ever seen the miraculous results of Ristoro, the magical skin rejuvenator?
No.
Good, then I can talk freely. Ristoro can't miss, madam. Why, I sold a jar of this stuff to a woman who had so many wrinkles in her forehead she had to screw her hat on. And after one 10-minute demonstration with Ristoro, gone.
Her hat?
No, her wrinkles. You can't go wrong with this product, madam. One application and you can have the complexion of a peach instead of a prune. And all one jar costs. I know this will make you laugh because the price is so ridiculous. It's $5 a jar.
$5? That's a lot of money.
Well, you have a lot of faith.
But I don't think I can afford it. You see, I just put $300 into a burial plot.
A burial plot. Why, that's ridiculous. Why, you have at least 32 years to live.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. Now, would you like me to give you a demonstration with Ristoro and try for 64?
Well...
Good. I'll open the jar and get to work. Ristoro here works wonders in just a few minutes. It's clean, harmless, smooth,
but
and it tastes good, too, don't it? Now, just hold still and don't swallow too much of this stuff. It might take the wrinkles out of your stomach. There. I've wiped the last traces of Restore from your face, madam. And you look 20 years younger.
20 years younger?
Mm-hmm. You have a mirror in the house?
No.
Well, as I was saying, you look 30 years younger.
But that's hard to believe.
Well, don't take my word for it. There's other ways to prove what Restore has done for you.
Oh, there's someone at the door.
Well, let the young man in.
Yes. How do you know it's a young man?
Well, exactly. Open the door.
Yes?
Good afternoon. I'm here to read the gas meter. Is your mother in, little girl?
Little girl?
See?
Oh, young man, I'm much older than you take me for.
You are? Oh, it was swell. Look, beautiful, I'll be through work in an hour. What say that you and me drop in on that cocktail bar around the corner and have a little drinky?
You mean a date with a man? Oh!
But bring your birth certificate with you, chick. Nobody will believe that you're over 18. See you later, gorgeous.
Oh, my. He took me for 18. Oh, I'll take a dozen jars of that.
A dozen? Oh, gosh, wait till Eddie finds out about the wonderful job I just landed for him.
Yes, and I just can't wait to see the expression on that young salesman's face when I tell him I've changed my mind about that burial plot. You may send the order to me right here. Miss Agatha Dinwiddie, 612.
Hello, Eddie. Waiting long?
Sure. But what's time in my young life?
Oh, don't be so forlorn, honey. I got good news.
I almost had good news. $100 a week's worth in commissions. But some dame sabotaged me out of a sale.
Well, we're going to show Mr. Smith that... Dame?
Just when I had made a big sale, the $300 burial plot, she loused it up and the job, too, trying rejuvenating Miss Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie?
What are you laughing about?
Dinwiddie's a very comical name.
Yeah, a scream. She said a kid of 18 shouldn't be thinking of kicking the bucket. She should be kicking the gong around.
Oh, but don't worry, Eddie. I'm sure there'll be a job for you with the Smith Company.
Not after I called Smith on the phone and told him off.
You told Mr. Smith off?
In spades.
Huh. Well, there's good news tonight.
Just wait till I lay my hands on that dame that sabotaged me.
You got any clues about who she is, Eddie?
Well, Miss Dinwiddie said she was a fast-talking gal.
Well, what do you know about that?
She said she was pretty, with even white teeth.
Sounds very attractive.
She said she was about 5'2", bleach blonde.
Well, she's got a nerve. My hair is not bleached, and
I... Maisie!
Oh, is it Eddie?
Well, Miss Revere, so you're the one
Eddie
who...
Eddie Jordan, don't you dare raise your foot to me! Well, I sure messed up Eddie's big chance that time. But everybody makes mistakes. That's why we have elections every year. I think. Gosh, I tried to explain to Eddie what I was trying to do, but he just looked at me like he didn't know what I was talking about. So I looked right back at him as if I did. Then I tried to tell Eddie it wasn't important he should hurry up and become a millionaire. But the words didn't come out too clearly. After all, it ain't easy to run and talk at the same time. Oh, gosh, here comes Eddie now. Gee, he runs faster than I figured. I was sure I had a bigger lead on him than this. Well, feet, get going again. You don't want to just sit there and see the rest of me get murdered.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie was written by Arthur Phillips. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Pat McGeehan, Howard McNear, Peter Leeds, Sheldon Leonard, Sidney Miller, and Elvia Allman. John Heaston speaking.
That's The Adventures of Maisie, November 9th, 1950, the Restoro Skin Rejuvenator, starring Ann Southern. Good broadcast. I hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Drivers, when you take to the roadway, stay off your phone. Arrive alive, don't text and drive. This message, courtesy of Nick's Towing, serving our listeners with quality, reliability, and pride. For all of your roadside assistance needs, including flats, fuel delivery, jump starts, lockouts, and more, call 847-671-5290 or 630-774-9769. That's Nick's Towing on the air, reminding everyone to arrive alive, don't text and drive.
You know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
You, of course, are familiar with the Our Miss Brooks radio series, right?
Of course.
And you know that the bashful...
Miss Connie Brooks.
That's right. The bashful biologist on there that she was crazy in love with...
Right.
...was played by Jeff Chandler. And he was very funny on that show. But guess what?
What?
He had his own radio show where he played a tough-as-nails private eye...
And the Adventures of Michael Shane.
That's
perhaps.
Right. That's right. And that's what we have for our listeners in the next hour. So, folks, after the news, we're going to play a Jeff Chandler episode of The Adventures of Michael Shane from 1948. You will not want to miss it.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. It is 1:06 in the morning. Happy Sunday morning to you, and we will be here for another hour playing all your favorite classic radio shows. And that's what we do every Saturday and Sunday night here on the greatest radio station on the planet, WGN. Saturdays and Sundays, 11 p.m., we start things off and we play five classic radio shows every weekend. In this hour, it's The Adventures of Michael Shane from 1948, starring Jeff Chandler. But first, we're going to play our game, Is It Real or Is It Ridiculous, sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Yeah, celebrity is Amy Adams.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You like that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I like Amy
okay.
Adams.
And the prize will be two tickets to Porchlight Revisits Minnie's Boys, which is at Ruth Page Center for the Arts, and it's a look at the young Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun play.
It sure does. See,
right.
Even you would like this one, Carl.
Yes, I would.
So we are going to call in now, 312-981-7200. We are looking for caller number 5.
Call now. Play the game live. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
All right, well, we asked for caller 5, I think. I think we lost our caller on the air,
okay.
So I'll just play with you.
All right.
And if they call back, they call back. Number 1, this is Amy Adams. Ready?
Yep.
She had a cameo on The Office. Is that real
or
ridiculous?
She had a cameo on The Office. Yes, that's real.
That is real.
Hang on a second.
Is that out of batteries yet, that thing?
Nope.
Nope? Okay. Number 2.
The Office, by the way. What? One of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's
Gosh,
everybody's
hilarious.
Favorite. Number 2. Her film debut was Psycho Beach Party in 2000.
No, I'm going to say ridiculous.
That is correct. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
That's right. That's exactly right, which was in 1999, the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressed.
Are you impressed?
Yes, I am.
You should be.
In some ways and not in others. Number 3. In 2014, she was named one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Time magazine.
What year?
2014.
I'm going to say ridiculous.
That is real. I had to get you on one.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Couldn't let your streak go. Well, Carl,
I
can't give you a pair of tickets to Minnie Boys.
Right.
But
just save it for someone else.
We'll save it for tonight for another listener.
All right. Sounds good.
Terrific.
All right, Lisa. Well, are you ready to listen to The Adventures of Michael Shane? But before we do that, I do want to remind all of our listeners, hey, folks, you know what? This is the time to join or at least check out the Classic Radio Club, because if you like classic radio shows, you are going to love the quality of the classic radio shows we are putting. Every month you get 10 new shows, 10 different classic radio shows. Plus, I write about each one of those shows and the series, give you all kinds of fun facts and copious liner notes about the shows. So you will get shows sent to you on CD to your home along with the liner notes. Or you can get them emailed to your email, and you can listen to them on any listening device via digital download. And we have a special going on right now where you can join the Classic Radio Club for only $1 the first month. So get 10 classic radio shows for only $1 when you join the Classic Radio Club. Now, if you get them emailed to you, it's $1. If you have the CD sent to you, you do have to pay the shipping and handling. Still only $1 for the 5 CDs with 10 shows, but it's $4.99 shipping and handling. So go to ClassicRadioClub.com. Are you enjoying your classic radio shows,
Lisa? I love my CDs. Thank you.
Yeah. The quality is amazing.
It is. It's perfect.
It's literally
they could be recorded today.
Yeah.
You would absolutely not know the difference.
That's the difference between us
and
anybody
else
that sells classic radio. Our shows are direct from the master recordings. We pay royalties to have these shows. We pay the royalties to the rights holders, the people that created these shows. And because of that, we get the master recordings. So that's what we put in the Classic Radio Club for you. So when you join this club, you are going to get the greatest shows of all time, plus the greatest quality of all time.
And that is the reason that we can air these shows on WGN.
Yes, absolutely.
Because there's no chance that we'd be able to do that on this station.
No.
If you didn't have if you didn't pay the royalties,
yep,
and have the rights.
We do, and we hope you enjoy listening to the shows via the Classic Radio Club and also on the air here on WGN. As I said, every Saturday and Sunday, we're here beginning at 11 p.m. Right now, it's The Adventures of Michael Shane. This was a detective series that came to radio originally in 1944 with Wally Mayer starring as Michael Shane. But then by 1948, they had a cast change, and Jeff Chandler, who was playing Philip Boynton on Our Miss Brooks, he did double duty and played Michael Shane on a different network. Now, this was a series directed by Bill Russo. He also directed the Pat Novak for Hire series, and it was great. I mean, he did a great job. He had a deep voice. He was perfect for this role. July 18th, 1948, this is called The Case of the Purloined Corpse. Here is Jeff Chandler in part one of The Adventures of Michael Shane, Detective.
I spun around, and it was Death with a long stick that whipped me across the face. Again and again, it crashed on my head, on my eyes, across my mouth. The strength leaked out of me, and I tripped headlong into a merry-go-round of huge black horses. And then I heard the door of the tomb slowly swinging shut.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call The Case of the Purloined Corpse.
You're Mr. Shane, aren't you? The private detective?
I guess you must have had that all figured out when you walked in here. Why the gun?
He told me I'd need one. He told me with a man like you, it was the only way.
Why, whatever gave him that idea?
He said that was the only way I could persuade you to come with me.
He must be quite a boy. Which head was he talking out of?
I don't like your humor, Mr. Shane. I didn't come here to be entertained.
Sure. Sure, shall we go?
You mean you'll come with me? Just like that?
Uh-huh. Wherever you go, dollface. Only I hate to be hurried.
Don't.
I don't like a little thing like a gun to stand between us. Now we can be cozy.
You're very quick, aren't you?
Yeah, the girls call me Swifty. Now let's play all over again. Where are we going? Who's he? And what does he want?
Josiah DeLacy. And he wants you.
Josiah? You mean that mummy with $50 million?
Mr. DeLacy and I are not that friendly. I only take care of him, not his bank balance.
Hey, you can have your gun back. Josiah was right. You'll have to persuade me. Seems to me I remember hearing Josiah DeLacy hasn't got a dollar without a bloodstain on it.
He's in desperate trouble, Mr. Shane.
Well, take a message back to him, Dollface. Tell him I'll make my usual contribution to his home for homeless girls and then tell him I dropped dead.
You don't understand. He's a very lonely and unhappy man. He needs your help. That's why he sent me.
Every morning, the population in New Orleans turns breathlessly to the obituary column, hoping to find Josiah DeLacy's name there. What makes you think I'm different?
Because your reputation says you can be bought. Mr. DeLacy will double your asking price.
Yeah, you convinced good, Miss...
West. Catherine West.
Katie, huh?
If you want it like that.
Well, maybe later, Katie. Every minute I waste now costs me double time. What's on your boss's mind?
Mr. DeLacy's son, Ezekiel, has been missing since yesterday.
Why doesn't Josiah go to the Bureau of Missing Persons? They work for free.
Because Ezekiel is dead.
Huh?
Not only that, Mr. Shane. Ezekiel has been buried for a week.
I was scraping time off my hands with a fingernail file when Katie West walked into my office. She was wearing an emerald green dress and a bright nickel revolver. On her, it looked like she'd just broken out of a sultan's dream. She told me Ezekiel DeLacy, son of Josiah DeLacy, had been kidnapped. But something silly had been added. Ezekiel had been dead for a week. And in the cab on our way to the DeLacy mansion on Royal Street, she didn't quit surprising me.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I got a feeling about you, Katie, and it doesn't quite gel. Where do you fit in? How'd you latch on to DeLacy?
Oh, didn't I tell you? Mr. DeLacy hired me a week ago. He had an idea he needed a nurse.
How old does a man have to be to stop getting ideas?
Look, I'm no Florence Nightingale, Mr. Shane. I'm a common laborer just like you. I breathe better when I'm around $50 million.
Yeah, I can inhale it from here.
You can stop right here, driver.
Here you are, son. Go buy yourself an annuity. The DeLacy mansion was one big shadow, not quite a mile wide. It could have housed an assembly line where they turned pixies into ghosts. We rode up to the solarium on one of those staircase elevators. The top floor, we faced a wall of transparent glass. Through it, I could see a dried-up, tiny little man with a head like an ivory mask. Only it was carved with so many lines and wrinkles, it could have been an ivory prune. His body was wrapped in a heavy towel-like robe, and around his throat there were more towels. Through the glass roof and glass walls, a false light crashed in. The whole apartment was swimming in it. The figure of Josiah DeLacy sat in the middle like a grotesque plant swaying in an undersea world. Katie pushed a button, and the heavy glass door whished open, and I went in.
Shut the door! Shut the door!
What'd you expect me to do, seep in through the glass?
The slightest drop in temperature, the merest fraction of a drop, lessens my lifespan by a year.
Why don't you light up a furnace and live in that?
I thrive on heat. It's my food and drink. Every particle of heat is like a fountain of youth to me. I soak it up. Soak it up. You're sane, aren't you?
Yeah, Miss West said you needed me.
I do. You disgust me, Mr. Shane.
What?
You might as well know that now, but I need your help.
Well, let's everybody stop yelling help and tell me what this is all about.
The body of my son Ezekiel was stolen from the family tomb in Cypress Grove Cemetery. You wouldn't understand what a desecration that is of our name, of our pride.
And of your son.
He must be returned. He must be.
Well, now, don't shout, Joe. I haven't got him. Why would anyone want him anyhow? Was Ezekiel buried with the family loot?
Fool. If that were so, would they send me this ransom note?
Yeah, let's see it. $50,000. Bring the ransom money to the cemetery at 2:30 in the morning on... Well, it's this morning. Now, look, my advice is...
No one asked for your advice. Here's $20,000. Take it to the tomb and pretend to leave. But you will watch and apprehend the criminals and bring them to me.
How do you know you can trust me with all this money?
I don't. But if you should be so stupid as to run off with it, I assure you there's always room for one more in Cypress Grove Cemetery.
I do believe you have a point there, Joe. Just as a matter of curiosity, how old was your son?
He was 70.
And you outlived him. Maybe he didn't understand about this heat thing. Well, I'll see what I can do to bring him back. It's a matter of pride. Phew. Boy.
How'd you make out?
Oh, keen. Just keen. I wheedled $20,000 out of Joe. cover charge for my date with a zombie at Cypress Grove Cemetery.
$20,000? Oh, Mike, you'll be careful, won't you?
I'll try to be kidding. I'll try. In this business, you got other people's trouble. You can never tell whose side you're on when you get your trouble secondhand. At 1:30, I had enough of the all-night movies, so I walked over to Canal Street and hopped a streetcar marked Cemeteries. I went to the back of the car, took the packet of money DeLacy had given me, and removed a sizable portion of it. I marked the bills with a pencil and put them back in my coat pocket.
Cypress Grove. Cypress Grove.
I got off the car and entered the cemetery. Just to the right, in back of a Chinese mausoleum, I found what I was looking for. The door to the tomb was open. I went in. The coffin stood gaping and empty and disappointed. I kneeled to put the ransom money on the marble floor, and then I heard it. The sound of a cane or a thin club whooshing through the air. I spun around. There was death with a long stick that whipped me full across the face. Again and again, it crashed on my head, on my eyes, across my mouth. The strength leaked out of me, and I tripped headlong into a merry-go-round of huge black horses. And then I heard the door of the tomb slowly swinging shut.
Michael.
Oh.
Come on. Try, Michael. Try.
How'd you get here?
I followed you. I frightened them away when they heard me coming.
Did you see who they were?
No, it was too dark.
You're a dodger. Yeah. Now the ransom's gone. All right, get me out of here before you really have to bury me. She was strong, that girl. Strong enough to get me up and out of there and back to my apartment. She kissed me goodnight with a smile, and then she went away. It was a million years later when the noise got inside of me and kept growing and growing until I was one big noise all over. Yeah.
Mr. Shane?
I don't know. Some days it's very hard to tell. Very hard.
This is Miss Cleo Delphine. Of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls. Can you come down here right away?
You want a testimonial? I think homeless girls are the best because they're...
Shane, this concerns murder. Murder and Ezekiel DeLacy.
That's the first portion of The Adventures of Michael Shane. Jeff Chandler, you also heard Jack Webb in that cast. Going back to July 18, 1948, The Case of the Purloined Corpse. More after these words. All right, so here's the thing. So you want a pizza.
Yes, I did. Not any pizza.
All right. Illuminati's
pizza, which is our favorite.
Yeah.
And I'm voting for spinach and tomatoes.
Well,
like
I'm just going to get spinach on my half. So we'll get all spinach and then half tomatoes.
Well, we should ask Curtis what he wants because he was in this too. He
Curtis,
likes pepperoni, I think.
Does he? Oh, he might be S-O-L.
He might just like spinach next weekend.
He might be eating some spinach with either
that's right.
Tomato on it or just spinach.
All right, fair deal.
Hey, guess what? You know who's going to be here tomorrow to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter?
We've got Dan Jaffe and Dave Wojcicki.
Yeah,
coming
they're both going
to
be here.
We're going to do our raffle where they choose one lucky winner to get an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride. It is not too late to send in your picture. Make sure to send in a picture of your cat and email it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Just include your name, your cat's name, your city, and your state. The drawing isn't until tomorrow night at around 11, so you still have time.
Yeah. You know what, folks? These are this is our sponsor from day one, Cat's Pride. And every single month, now we're talking 4 years now, Lisa?
Right.
4 years.
Yes.
Dan has been coming in here, Dan and Dave, and they've been coming in the last Sunday of the month. And they have been giving away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Think about that.
So I have a question for you, Carl. Yeah. Use your math skills. So if it's 52 weeks a year and they've been doing it for 4 years.
Well, it's 12 months times four.
Once a month.
So that's 48 months. So that's 48 years of cat litter. It's 48 years worth of cat litter.
Right, 48 years worth of cat litter.
I did that pretty fast.
Yeah, you did.
Not bad.
48 years of cat litter.
You were talking about 52 weeks. What was that?
Well, in the year.
52. It has nothing to do with weeks, though. It's they come once a month. She's trying to throw me. You're sneaky. You know that, Lisa? This is a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky gal.
I didn't say they
gal.
Came every week.
You're a sneaky gal.
That's true.
Yeah. But, folks, let me tell you this. We've had 48 winners, right? 48 people have won. Our listeners are those people. So that person tomorrow night, or actually tonight, because
right.
they're coming back here
tonight
at 11
p.m. Tonight at 11 o'clock.
It could be you. You could win
a
year's
supply.
Or
you know someone who has a cat. Get on it.
Yeah, just give us the email. Well, they have to email it to us.
catspridephoto@gmail.com.
And what do you email?
Your picture of your cat.
What if they don't have a picture of their cat?
Well, then they need to take one and quick.
Pretty much anyone that has a cat, though, has a
I
picture of their
so.
Cat, don't you think?
I think so.
I mean, some of the pictures that come in are so cute.
They really are.
Cats are doing really funny, cute things. I saw one time where it was like...
they get them all dressed up.
Yeah, they dress them up.
Sometimes they put it by the cat's pride, like the green jug.
Yeah. It doesn't... I mean...
You don't need to do that.
No, you don't have to do that because it's a random drawing. But our listeners... Mostly from Illinois, but obviously surrounding states because this signal reaches all over the country. But you have to join, folks. Send in a picture of your kitty cat. Do it tonight because, or do it before 11 p.m. tonight because you can win, right?
Right.
catspridephoto@gmail.com. All right. When we come back from news, we have more of Michael Shane. And then what do we have coming up tonight when we come back on the air?
At 11 o'clock, we have Suspense. Because
who's starring
we love
in that
suspense.
Episode?
I don't have that in front of me.
It's Agnes Moore.
Oh, right. Of
yeah.
course it is. Because
our
we
fun
have a
fact.
Photo of her on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. And it's a really great fact. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Why not?
Because I want you to go to our Facebook page and check it out.
And like us when you're there at our
well,
Facebook
of course.
Page.
You gotta
Make sure
like
you like us,
us. For sure.
And then what else do we have?
We've got Have Gun, Will Travel.
Oh. Good Western, yeah. John Daner. You know, the interesting thing about Have Gun, Will Travel started out as a
TV
show
and then went to radio.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Very
it's
few
very
shows did that. But yep. Have Gun was never a radio show prior to the TV show. Right. It started on TV, and it was so popular on television with Richard Boone that they said, hey, let's create a radio show for it. And so they hired John Daner because Richard Boone was too busy shooting. So that's what happened. Well, we have that for you tonight, along with a terrific episode of Suspense, starring the First Lady of Suspense, Agnes Moorehead. You don't want to miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I believe that you are Lisa Wolf.
I believe that
I
you
be
believe
right.
correctly.
I would be right on that. Hang on. Let me see if I'm right.
You're right.
I say
this time.
You are Lisa Wolf.
This is one of the few things that we're going to agree on
let me
because
see.
We generally disagree.
I believe that I am Lisa Wolf. There we go. So there we
you
go.
You got it now.
Man.
That was rough.
Wow. I thought for a second there I might have turned into Lisa Wolf.
I
would have been
so.
Scary.
Yeah, I think so too. You just want to be
You
me.
Know what? 55 years I've been a guy. I just rather
stick
just
with it.
Want to stick with it through the rest of this journey.
Yeah, good.
I'm fine with who I am. Fine with being
Feeling
a guy.
Feeling good about yourself.
I like being a guy. Being a guy is pretty cool. I mean, most guys out there would agree with me. It's pretty cool being a guy.
Well,
so
not
I'm gonna
every
stick.
Guy
I'm gonna
wants
stick
to stay.
I'm going to stick to it.
All right, I'm going to leave it there.
All right?
Okay.
All right, so it's time now for the conclusion to the adventures of Michael Shane.
When I got to the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Girls, I was amazed at the frivolity of the building. It was like a charming and graceful old French lady doing a discreet version of a can-can. From somewhere within the house, a music box was playing an old tune. I crossed a courtyard and entered the building. 60 or 70 years ago, a ladylike girl had a dream of what her home would look like. This was it. Standing in the middle of the room was a distinguished-looking woman dressed in black and carrying a cane.
Mr. Shane?
I bow.
I'm Cleo Dauphine.
It's an honor, Miss Cleo.
Oh.
Lovely place you have here.
Well, thank you. We think so.
It's so quiet. Are the guests at work or at play?
Guests? Oh, would you care to meet them?
Oh, if it's not too much trouble.
Oh, not at all. Penelope? Penelope?
Yes, Cleo?
Mr. Shane is here. He'd like to meet you.
Oh, I do want to see that young man.
Penelope, this is Michael Shane.
Oh, how nice.
How do you do, ma'am?
Mr. Shane wanted to meet the inmates of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Girls. This is my sister Penelope, Mr. Shane.
We are the girls.
You mean just the two of you?
Just the two of us. Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I'm not disappointed, Miss Delphine. I couldn't be more delighted.
Oh, you may leave now, Penelope.
Must I, Cleo?
Yes.
Oh, you have all the fun. Please come again, Mr. Shane. It's rare that we have gentlemen calling on us.
Well, that's their misfortune.
Oh, Cleo, he makes me feel all fluttery, as if there were a little bird beating its wings against my heart.
Really, Penelope?
Goodbye, Mr. Shane.
Bye. If I were 40 years older, I think I could feel the little bird, too.
Many young gentlemen did.
Miss Delphine, on the phone you said something about a murder in Ezekiel DeLacy. May we talk about that?
Mr. Shane, Ezekiel DeLacy is not dead.
Shall I go out and come back in again? The smell of all roses does something to my hearing.
No, you heard me correctly. The body that was laid to rest in the DeLacy mausoleum was not Ezekiel's.
Then whose was it?
Would you care to see? Please follow me. You'll find this most interesting.
She led me upstairs and into a darkened chapel-like room. There was a pungent odor of incense. A huge Spanish candelabra stood in the four corners and cast a ghostly, wavering light over a body that lay on a raised platform. It was the body of a man who had accepted death much against his will. You didn't have to be a detective to see the reason why. Right in the middle of his forehead was a neat little hole. Neat, like in bullet. The whole thing was just about as easy to hang on to as a handful of smoke. There was a girl in it named Katie who could light candles in your brain. There was also Josiah DeLacy, an old man who might have told me some big lies. His son Ezekiel had been dead for a week. I was hired to find out what made the body lively enough to disappear from Cypress Grove Cemetery. And then there was Miss Cleo Dauphine and her sister Penelope of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls. And scattered somewhere in between meeting all these gay people was a beating I took in Ezekiel's tomb. And finally, looking very unhappy about the whole thing, was a dead man with a bullet hole in his forehead.
Mr. Shane, I insist that this is the man who was buried in Cypress Grove.
And you also say he's not Ezekiel DeLacy?
Precisely.
Well, the way I heard it, Miss Cleo, is that Josiah buried his son and seems willing to part with a hunk of cash just to see that Ezekiel enjoys a cool and untroubled rest.
I detest quibbling, Mr. Shane. I knew Ezekiel very well as anybody did.
Yeah. Well, now don't surprise me too much, Miss Cleo, but tell me gently. Is Ezekiel alive?
I saw him at the funeral.
Well, and who do you think this body belonged to when it was breathing?
I'd be very glad to tell you, Mr. Shane. The murdered man you see lying there is...
Here, Shane. Drink this.
Where am I? Ooh.
You're at police headquarters, Shane, and the offer of this drink lasts 5 seconds. After that, it gets donated back to the police department, namely me.
Yeah, you're so good to me, Lefevre.
You're not hurt, Shane. Just a scratch.
Well, can't fool you, can we? Did you find the body?
We found Cleo Dauphine.
Yeah, I figured you would. Why else would you be an inspector? Only I'm talking about the murdered body.
Cleo Dauphine was dead, shot 4 times. No weapon in evidence. We may not be as smart as you, Shane, but we call that a murdered body. What do you call it?
I'm talking about the one that was stolen from the tomb.
Look, maybe you're hurt worse than I thought. The department don't expect us to know more in first aid. But my brother-in-law is a nifty psychiatrist.
Oh, forget it. What about Penelope?
Which Penelope?
Cleo's sister. Wasn't she there?
What were you doing down there anyway? What possible interest could you have in the DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls, huh?
Just social work. I feel everyone should do his bit.
Well, you're a real cute Irishman, aren't you, Shane? Don't you want to keep your license nice and green? Could dry up and blow away if you keep breathing hot lies on it.
Now, don't crowd me, Lefevre. I got an idea I can hand this thing to you all prettied up with a ribbon around it.
But try real hard, huh? If you don't, it'll break my heart. Maybe yours, too.
When I got out of there, the fog had rolled in from the Gulf, gathered up some fresh water mist out of Lake Pontchartrain, then clumped down Market Street as heavy and definite as an elephant's foot. All of which made it a lovely evening for a walk. Now, maybe walking had helped me add up a few answers I'd missed. But then one answer drove up in a pretty blue convertible.
Mike? Hey, Mike!
Well, a bright ray of sunshine in an otherwise drab day.
Get in, Mike.
Sure. Honest Joe DeLacy fix you up with this hot rod?
Mike, what's happened to you? You just vanished. I've been looking every place for you.
Glad you were, doll child. I want to check a few things with you. Now, look, when you came to my office, you told me Ezekiel DeLacy had been dead for a week. You sure of that?
Of course I'm sure. Ezekiel DeLacy died a day before his father hired me as a private nurse.
But you don't really know if he was dead or not.
I saw Ezekiel buried, Mike. I attended the funeral with his father, Josiah.
Well, how many other people saw him?
Mr. DeLacy and I were the only ones at the funeral. You know how much people hate that family.
Well, then you never saw Ezekiel except as a corpse.
Well, no, how could I?
Don't let it worry you, Katie.
But I do worry, Mike.
Oh.
I do. About you, Mike.
Why, Katie, you're talking about the man I love. Hey, why are we stopping?
We're out of gas. Come here.
What can I do? Why, Katie, you wouldn't want me to walk home, would you? After a while, after the fog went back to where it came from, Katie drove me to my apartment. I gave her back the same kind of look she gave me, whatever kind that was, bitter or fond and painful farewell. Walking down the hall to my room, I couldn't quite make out whether the after image of her perfume still stuck with me or whether one of the other tenants was going on a binge of old roses. It didn't really start worrying me until I saw a light slanting through the bottom of the door.
Oh, Mr. Shane.
Miss Penelope, how'd you get in here?
Oh, just like they do in the movies, Mr. Shane. I told the clerk I was your sister. It seems to work every time.
I'm delighted.
Oh, this is so exciting. Cleo will be furious when she finds out I've been talking to you alone.
Cleo, but...
But I'm sure there are some things you'd like to know. Just ask me.
Yeah. Tell me about yourself, Miss Penelope, and about your sister, Miss Cleo.
Oh, there's nothing to tell about me. But Cleo now, her story is so exciting and romantic and sad, like a novel.
But tell me about it.
I promise you won't tell Cleo?
I promise.
Well, 50 years ago, Cleo was hired by Josiah DeLacy as a nurse companion. Then one day, he found her in the garden with his son, Ezekiel. Oh, there, I've said it.
I blush.
Yes, Josiah found her in the garden with his son, Ezekiel, alone. You see, it was Josiah and Cleo who were in love.
Well, what did Josiah do?
As punishment, he built the home and called it a sanctuary for homeless girls, and he forced Cleo and me to live there.
Did you know Josiah?
Oh, yes, I often visited him and Cleo.
How long has it been since you've seen him?
I haven't set eyes on him from the day he put us in the house until...
Until the funeral?
Until the funeral. We found a hiding place and we watched. Oh, Mr. Shane, what have you made me say? Oh, Cleo will be very angry when she finds out what I've told you.
She won't find out, Miss Penelope.
I'd better be leaving now, Mr. Shane. I don't want Cleo to find me alone with a gentleman in his room. But it was courtly of you to understand. And, Mr. Shane...
Yes?
Do be careful. I'm afraid for you, Mr. Shane.
There was was only one place left to go after that, so I went. Katie answered my knock and let me in. She looked swooningly at me, but I wasn't in the mood. I told her to wait for me outside in the car. As I approached the glass wall of the solarium, I could see Josiah sitting there exactly as he'd sat the first time I saw him. I took a last gasp of air, opened the door.
Shh.
Josiah screamed.
You blundering, stupid idiot! Get out of here!
I'm taking a poll, Mr. DeLacy. Where do you think your son Ezekiel is?
I hired you to find out.
But I failed. I failed miserably.
Exactly. Now get out of here.
But I couldn't live with myself without knowing.
Poison is always a good way out, Shane. Or you could jump right from here. I could enjoy that.
And your homeless girl, Cleo Dauphine, she's been murdered. Did you know that?
Serves her right. She always liked to meddle.
Yeah, and whoever killed her tried to murder me. That's twice on the same case. I'm Irish and superstitious and scared. The third time might take. Now, where is your son Ezekiel, Mr. DeLacy?
What makes you think I know?
That gun you just took out of your pocket helps me know. Could be the same one that killed Cleo before she could tell me whose body was in her house.
It is the same gun, Shane.
Well, who'd you get to pull the trigger for, you nurse?
I told you, he gives me strength. It's quite warm in here now.
Yeah, even I can feel it.
I loathe your glib tongue. I loathe everything about you.
Now, don't exert yourself, Pappy.
Believe me, it will take no exertion to kill you. Do you want to know where Ezekiel is? I tell you.
No, I'll tell you. You're Ezekiel, aren't you? You killed your old man. And it was Cleo who sent you that ransom note.
Yes, Cleo or Penelope. They were the only ones who could have possibly known that it was my father who was buried, and not I.
Only you figured that out too late, after you hired me. So you shot Cleo while I was talking to her.
I'll outlive all of you.
Oh, 1,000 wouldn't even get you one on that, Zeke.
Yes. Yes, I killed Cleo. And now I'll kill you, Shane.
Now take it easy. This won't look good on your record.
Take it!
Bullets that pierced the glass punched two holes in the old man's body. They did another thing. They set up a vibration that collapsed the wall of the solarium. But standing outside with a very gentle smile and a very harsh revolver was Penelope Dauphine. I got her out of there fast, down to Katie's car. When I told Katie what had happened, she sat there and stared, her vision of $50 million ripped apart by all those jagged edges.
Are you sure Ezekiel's dead, Mike?
Yeah, I'm sure, Dauphine. He's quite dead.
I followed you here. I told you it would be better if you had someone to take care of you.
Yeah, the hot blood of youth, Miss Penelope. I apologize.
And I'm glad you found out that he was really Ezekiel. I was listening. I couldn't have told you that, Mr. Shane. I gave Cleo my word of honor I wouldn't tell anybody that.
Then maybe you wouldn't mind telling me why Ezekiel killed his father.
Because he hated him. He thought Josiah would never die. Ezekiel wanted his inheritance. He was getting very impatient, I imagine, and you know what?
What?
I wrote the ransom note. Oh, it was so exciting. Cleo doesn't know about that. But I didn't want the money. I only did it to hurt Ezekiel.
You don't look the type, Miss Penelope.
Oh, Cleo was still in love with Josiah. That's why we brought his body to our nice house, and I put him in our own vault. That's why those policemen couldn't find it.
Maybe we better tell them now.
Yes, if you say so. And now I'd like to go home, Mr. Shane.
Sure, wherever you say.
But why does Miss West look so unhappy? She can get another job.
Yeah, she probably will. Don't take it so hard, Katie.
I can't believe it. All that money just waiting to be plucked. I thought this would be the one time...
Why, whatever is she talking about?
Well, this nurse companion racket might pay off another time, dollface.
Do I hear an offer?
How about dinner at Galatoire's private dining room, huh? That is, if you lend me $20, your late boss forgot to pay me.
Oh, I'd be glad to lend it to you, Mr. Shane.
I guess it can be arranged. Here you are, Mike.
Thanks. Now, let's turn on the dash light for a second. Oh, Katie, you foolish girl.
What's the matter?
Yes, is something wrong, Mr. Shane?
Never try to pass a marked bill, Katie, especially to the fellow who marked it.
You marked it?
Mm-hmm. Right before you tried to brain me in the cemetery. But... Now you'll have to have dinner at police headquarters with no margary sauce.
Why, you dirty double-crossing...
And after all the trouble I had getting reservations at Galatoire's, Will you join me, Miss Penelope?
Of all the low-down, contemptible...
Why, I'd be delighted, Mr. Shane.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
I think that's a trombone there, Lisa. What do you think?
Yep, 76 like, trombones. Wah, 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 lead the, wah, led the big
with the thing
parade
on the end, like, you know, like Louis Armstrong
like
used
music
to use.
Man.
Mm-hmm. I think so. My Adventures of Michael Shane, July 18th, 1948. The Case of the Purloined Corpse, starring Jeff Chandler. Also in that cast, Jack Webb.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I believe that you are Lisa Wolf.
I believe that
I
you
be
believe
right.
correctly.
I would be right on that. Hang on, let me see if I'm right.
You're right.
I say
this time
you are Lisa Wolf.
This is one of the few things that we're going to agree on because we generally disagree.
I believe that I am Lisa Wolf. There we go. So there we
you
go.
You got it now.
Man.
That was rough.
Wow. I thought for a second there I might have turned into Lisa Wolf.
I
would have been
so
scary.
Yeah, I think so too. You just want to be
You know what? 55 years I've been a guy. I just rather
stick
just
with it.
Want to stick with it through the rest of this journey.
Yeah, good.
I'm fine with who I am. Fine with being
feeling
a guy.
Feeling good about yourself.
I like being a guy. Being a guy is pretty cool. I mean, most guys out there would agree with me. It's pretty cool being a guy.
Well,
so
not
I'm gonna
every
stick,
guy
I'm gonna
wants
stick to,
to
it.
Stay.
I'm going to stick to it.
All right, I'm going to leave it there.
All right?
Okay.
All right, so it's time now for the conclusion to The Adventures of Michael Shane.
When I got to the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Girls, I was amazed at the frivolity of the building. It was like a charming and graceful old French lady doing a discreet version of a can-can. From somewhere within the house, a music box was playing an old tune. I crossed a courtyard and entered the building. 60 or 70 years ago, a ladylike girl had a dream of what her home would look like. This was it. Standing in the middle of the room was a distinguished-looking woman dressed in black and carrying a cane.
Mr. Shane?
I bow.
I'm Cleo Dauphine.
It's an honor, Miss Cleo.
Oh.
Lovely place you have here.
Well, thank you. We think so.
Wait, it's so quiet. Are the guests at work or at play?
Guests? Oh, would you care to meet them?
Oh, if it's not too much trouble.
Oh, not at all. Penelope? Penelope?
Yes, Cleo?
Mr. Shane is here. He'd like to meet you.
Oh, I do want to see that young man.
Penelope, this is Michael Shane.
Oh, how nice.
How do you do, ma'am?
Mr. Shane wanted to meet the inmates of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Girls. This is my sister Penelope, Mr. Shane.
We are the girls.
You mean just the two of you?
Just the two of us. Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I'm not disappointed, Miss Dauphine. I couldn't be more delighted.
Oh, you may leave now, Penelope.
Must I, Cleo?
Yes.
Oh, you have all the fun. Please come again, Mr. Shane. It's rare that we have gentlemen calling on us.
Well, that's their misfortune.
Oh, Cleo, he makes me feel all fluttery, as if there were a little bird beating its wings against my heart.
Really, Penelope?
Goodbye, Mr. Shane.
Bye. If I were 40 years older, I think I could feel a little bird, too.
Many young gentlemen did.
Miss Dauphine, on the phone you said something about a murder in Ezekiel DeLacy. May we talk about that?
Mr. Shane, Ezekiel DeLacy is not dead.
Shall I go out and come back in again? The smell of all roses does something to my hearing.
No, you heard me correctly. The body that was laid to rest in the DeLacy mausoleum was not Ezekiel's.
Then whose was it?
Would you care to see?
Hmm?
Please follow me. You'll find this most interesting.
She led me upstairs and into a darkened chapel-like room. was a pungent odor of incense. Huge Spanish candelabra stood in the four corners and cast a ghostly, wavering light over a body that lay on a raised platform. It was the body of a man who had accepted death much against his will. You didn't have to be a detective to see the reason why. Right in the middle of his forehead was a neat little hole. Neat, like in bullet. The whole thing was just about as easy to hang on to as a handful of smoke. There was a girl in it named Katie who could light candles in your brain. There was also Josiah DeLacy, an old man who might have told me some big lies. His son Ezekiel had been dead for a week. I was hired to find out what made the body lively enough to disappear from Cypress Grove Cemetery. And then there was Miss Cleo Dauphine and her sister Penelope of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls. And scattered somewhere in between meeting all these gay people was a beating I took in Ezekiel's tomb. And finally, looking very unhappy about the whole thing, was a dead man with a bullet hole in his forehead.
Mr. Shane, I insist that this is the man who was buried in Cypress Grove.
And you also say he's not Ezekiel DeLacy?
Precisely.
Well, the way I heard it, Miss Cleo, is that Josiah buried his son and seems willing to part with a hunk of cash just to see that Ezekiel enjoys a cool and untroubled rest.
I detest quibbling, Mr. Shane. I knew Ezekiel very well as anybody did.
Yeah. Well, now, don't surprise me too much, Miss Cleo, but tell me gently. Is Ezekiel alive?
I saw him at the funeral.
Well, and who do you think this body belonged to when it was breathing?
I'd be very glad to tell you, Mr. Shane. The murdered man you see lying there is...
Here, Shane. Drink this.
Where am I? Ooh.
You're at police headquarters, Shane, and the offer of this drink lasts 5 seconds. After that, it gets donated back to the police department, namely me.
So good to me, Lefevre.
You're not hurt, Shane. Just a scratch.
Well, can't fool you, can we? Did you find the body?
We found Cleo Dauphine.
Yeah, I figured you would. Why else would you be an inspector? Only I'm talking about the murdered body.
Cleo Dauphine was dead. Shot 4 times. No weapon in evidence. We may not be as smart as you, Shane, but we call that a murdered body. What do you call it?
I'm talking about the one that was stolen from the tomb.
Look, maybe you're hurt worse than I thought. The department don't expect us to know more in first aid. But my brother-in-law is a nifty psychiatrist.
Oh, forget it. What about Penelope?
Which Penelope?
Cleo's sister. Wasn't she there?
What were you doing down there anyway? What possible interest could you have in the DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls, huh?
Just social work. I feel everyone should do his bit.
Well, you're a real cute Irishman, aren't you, Shane? Don't you want to keep your license nice and green? Could dry up and blow away if you keep breathing hot lies on it.
Now, don't crowd me, Lefevre. I got an idea I can hand this thing to you all prettied up with a ribbon around it.
But try real hard, huh? If you don't, it'll break my heart. Maybe yours, too.
When I got out of there, the fog had rolled in from the Gulf, gathered up some fresh water mist out of Lake Pontchartrain, then clumped down Market Street as heavy and definite as an elephant's foot. All of which made it a lovely evening for a walk. Now, maybe walking had helped me add up a few answers I'd missed. But then one answer drove up in a pretty blue convertible.
Mike? Hey, Mike!
Well, a bright ray of sunshine in an otherwise drab day.
Get in, Mike.
Sure. Honest Joe DeLacy fix you up with this hot rod?
Mike, what's happened to you? You just vanished. I've been looking every place for you.
Glad you were, doll child. I want to check a few things with you. Now, look, when you came to my office, you told me Ezekiel DeLacy had been dead for a week. You sure of that?
Of course I'm sure. Ezekiel DeLacy died a day before his father hired me as a private nurse.
But you don't really know if he was dead or not.
I saw Ezekiel buried, Mike. I attended the funeral with his father, Josiah.
Well, how many other people saw him?
Mr. DeLacy and I were the only ones at the funeral. You know how much people hate that family.
Well, then you never saw Ezekiel except as a corpse.
Well, no, how could I?
Don't let it worry you, Katie.
But I do worry, Mike.
Oh.
I do. About you, Mike.
Why, Katie, you're talking about the man I love. Hey, why are we stopping?
We're out of gas. Come here.
What can I do? Why, Katie, you wouldn't want me to walk home, would you? After a while, after the fog went back to where it came from, Katie drove me to my apartment. I gave her back the same kind of look she gave me, whatever kind that was, bitter or fond and painful farewell. Walking down the hall to my room, I couldn't quite make out whether the afterimage of her perfume still stuck with me or whether one of the other tenants was going on a binge of old roses. It didn't really start worrying me until I saw a light slanting through the bottom of the door.
Oh, Mr. Sheen.
Miss Penelope, how'd you get in here?
Just like they do in the movies, Mr. Shane. I told the clerk I was your sister. It seems to work every time.
Oh, I'm delighted.
Oh, this is so exciting. Cleo will be furious when she finds out I've been talking to you alone.
Cleo, but...
But I'm sure there are some things you'd like to know. Just ask me.
Yeah. Tell me about yourself, Miss Penelope, and about your sister, Miss Cleo.
Oh, there's nothing to tell about me. But Cleo now, her story is so exciting and romantic and sad, like a novel.
But tell me about it.
Promise you won't tell Cleo?
I promise.
Well, 50 years ago, Cleo was hired by Josiah De Lacy as a nurse companion. Then one day, he found her in the garden with his son, Ezekiel. Oh, there, I've said it.
I blush.
Yes, Josiah found her in the garden with his son, Ezekiel, alone. You see, it was Josiah and Cleo who were in love.
Well, what did Josiah do?
As punishment, he built the home and called it a sanctuary for homeless girls, and he forced Cleo and me to live there.
Did you know Josiah?
Oh, yes, I often visited him and Cleo.
How long has it been since you've seen him?
I haven't set eyes on him from the day he put us in the house until...
Until the funeral?
Until the funeral. We found a hiding place and we watched. Oh, Mr. Shane, what have you made me say? Oh, Cleo will be very angry when she finds out what I've told you.
She won't find out, Miss Penelope.
I'd better be leaving now, Mr. Shane. I don't want Cleo to find me alone with a gentleman in his room. But it was courtly of you to understand. And, Mr. Shane...
Yes?
Do be careful. I'm afraid for you, Mr. Shane.
There was only one place left to go after that, so I went. Katie answered my knock and let me in. She looked swooningly at me, but I wasn't in the mood. I told her to wait for me outside in the car. As I approached the glass wall of the solarium, I could see Josiah sitting there exactly as he'd sat the first time I saw him. I took a last gasp of air, opened the door.
Shh.
Josiah screamed.
You blundering, stupid idiot! Get out of here!
I'm taking a poll, Mr. DeLacy. Where do you think your son Ezekiel is?
I hired you to find out.
But I failed. I failed miserably.
Exactly. Now get out of here.
I couldn't live with myself without knowing.
Poison is always a good way out, Shane. Or you could jump right from here. I could enjoy that.
And your homeless girl, Cleo Dauphine, she's been murdered. Did you know that?
Serves her right. She always liked to meddle.
Yeah, and whoever killed her tried to murder me. That's twice on the same case. I'm Irish and superstitious and scared. The third time might take. Now, where is your son Ezekiel, Mr. De Lacy?
What makes you think I know?
That gun you just took out of your pocket helps me know. Could be the same one that killed Cleo before she could tell me whose body was in her house.
It is the same gun, Shane.
Well, who'd you get to pull the trigger for you, your nurse?
I told you, he gives me strength. It's quite warm in here now.
Yeah, even I can feel it.
I loathe your glib tongue. I loathe everything about you.
Now, don't exert yourself, Pappy.
Believe me, it will take no exertion to kill you. Do you want to know where Ezekiel is? I'll tell you.
No, I'll tell you. You're Ezekiel, aren't you? You killed your old man. And it was Cleo who sent you that ransom note.
Yes, Cleo or Penelope. They were the only ones who could have possibly known that it was my father who was buried, and not I.
Only you figured that out too late, after you hired me. So you shot Cleo while I was talking to her.
I'll outlive all of you.
Oh, 1,000 wouldn't even get you one on that, Zeke.
Yes. Yes, I killed Cleo. And now I'll kill you, Shane.
Now take it easy. This won't look good on your record.
Take it!
bullets that pierced the glass punched two holes in the old man's body. They did another thing. They set up a vibration that collapsed the wall of the solarium. And standing outside with a very gentle smile and a very harsh revolver was Penelope Dauphine. I got her out of there fast, down to Katie's car. When I told Katie what had happened, she sat there and stared, her vision of $50 million ripped apart by all those jagged edges.
Are you sure Ezekiel's dead, Mike?
Yeah, I'm sure, Darth. He's quite dead.
I followed you here. I told you it would be better if you had someone to take care of you.
Yeah, the hot blood of youth, Miss Penelope. I apologize.
And I'm glad you found out that he was really Ezekiel. I was listening. I couldn't have told you that, Mr. Shane. I gave Cleo my word of honor I wouldn't tell anybody that.
Then maybe you wouldn't mind telling me why Ezekiel killed his father.
Because he hated him. He thought Josiah would never die. Ezekiel wanted his inheritance. He was getting very impatient, I imagine, and you know what?
What?
I wrote the ransom note. Oh, it was so exciting. Cleo doesn't know about that. But I didn't want the money. I only did it to hurt Ezekiel.
You don't look the type, Miss Penelope.
Oh, Cleo was still in love with Josiah. That's why we brought his body to our nice house, and I put him in our own vault. That's why those policemen couldn't find it.
Maybe we better tell them now.
Yes, if you say so. And now I'd like to go home, Mr. Shane.
Sure, wherever you say.
But why does Miss West look so unhappy? She can get another job.
Yeah, she probably will. Don't take it so hard, Katie.
I can't believe it. All that money just waiting to be plucked. I thought this would be the one time...
Why, whatever is she talking about?
Well, this nurse companion racket might pay off another time, dollface.
Do I hear an offer?
How about dinner at Galatoire's private dining, huh? That is, if you lend me $20, your late boss forgot to pay me.
Oh, I'd be glad to lend it to you, Mr. Shane.
I guess it can be arranged. Here you are, Mike.
Thanks. Now, let's turn on the dash light for a second. Oh, Katie, you foolish girl.
What's the matter?
Yes, is something wrong, Mr. Shane?
Never try to pass a marked bill, Katie, especially to the fellow who marked it.
You marked it?
Mm-hmm. Right before you tried to brain me in the cemetery. But... now you'll have to have dinner at police headquarters with no margarita sauce.
Why, you dirty
devil
crossing...
And after all the trouble I had getting reservations at Galatoire's. Will you join me, Miss Penelope?
Of all the low-down, contemptible...
Why, I'd be delighted, Mr. Shane.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
I think that's a trombone there, Lisa. What do you think?
Yep, 76
like,
trombones.
Wah, wah, wah,
lead the,
wah,
led the big
with the thing
parade.
On the end, like, you know, like Louis Armstrong
like
used
Music
to use.
Music Man.
Mm-hmm. I think so. My Adventures of Michael Shane, July 18th, 1948. The Case of the Purloined Corpse, starring Jeff Chandler. Also in that cast, Jack Webb. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Bravo, Lisa. Nice job on that commercial there.
Thanks. That's why they pay me the big bucks around here.
You should be a voice talent somewhere. Should try to get on the radio.
I'm working
on
that.
There are college radio stations that are hiring, I hear.
Yeah, I'm just going to go straight to the top.
Right.
Thanks.
Right, Curtis? She'll go straight to the top.
She's absolutely right.
There are some college radio stations that are looking for intern work.
I'm sure there are.
You can do some voiceover stuff there.
I might make more money there. That might work out for me.
make sure you check out the Classic Radio Club, like Lisa just said on that commercial. Join for the first month, only $1. When we come back tonight, we have more classic radio, more hijinks, more fun. We'll give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Thanks to Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske from Cat's Pride. They will be here live in the studio. And we'll also hear Agnes Moorehead starring in suspense, right?
Yeah, we have a wonderful picture of her posted on our Facebook page. It's really great.
Wow, yeah, color picture. Very cool.
With the orange hair and the matching eyebrows, it's fantastic.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, she's kind of reddish orange, and her eyebrows...
Well, she's not Endora in that picture.
That's but she's
It's like a glamour shot of her.
Yeah, it's still... She's just a colorful woman.
Yeah.
That's what she is.
Yeah, she is.
Yep, and of course, that comes across in her voice.
She was very colorful when she played Endora.
She was. That was a perfect role for her.
She was so great in that role.
She was so great.
Role.
I think everybody was great in that show.
Well, that series was... I never could understand is how, I was watching that, and then, the second season or something, she had a different husband, and I never said anything about
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, remember? It was, two actors that played her husband.
I don't remember
There was
that.
One guy, Dick Sargent, and then Dick York.
Oh, you mean Samantha's husband?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, that was just a transition that nobody really talked
about. I
guess,
from what I understand, the original guy had terrible back pain.
You know, they just chose not to deal with it, and they just... They kind of had a similar look about them.
They did, to me, you know, as a kid watching them, I was like, that's not her husband.
See, it didn't really
rattle
me.
That's not the same guy.
I just bought right into it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not me. I was this is bothering me now.
Well, I bet it's still bothering you because things do tend to bother you.
They bother me for a long time.
Oh, I
hang
know.
On to it for a long time.
I'm very aware of that.
So am I.
Hey, it's 2:00 in the morning.
It sure is.
Oh, my God. It means we can go.
We're done, but...
And the snow seems to have stopped.
I think Dave Plyer is up next.
I'm still going to drive my car with all-wheel drive, though, because I know
you
would like that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, Dave Plyer is up next. Don't forget, folks, we're back here at 11:00 tonight with Suspense and Have Gun Will Travel. Thanks for listening.